How's it going? Podcast.
I got my Red Bull first this time.
Smart.
And then well, does this ever happen to you where you catch, you don't have a mustache, huh?
No, okay. I shaved it.
Okay, so, because, like, occasionally I have, like, a bushy mustache.
Uh-huh.
And what'll happen is you go this, and then the fucking mustache hair gets caught in between the tab and the...
Oh, that sucks.
And you pull it back and then pulls your...
Oh, wow. Oh, no, that hasn't happened to me. I have no experience with that.
It's the worst.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, Laura?
I'm here. Hooray. This is a weird, surreal, exciting experience for me. Hello.
Surreal? Why?
Well, because this is one of those things where I've listened to you guys for a while, and then I think the message I got about coming on this was just a midnight DM from Wooly that was just, let's do this. No other context. Like, no context for what we were going to do. It's just a midnight thing. Let's do this. So I was like, yeah, sure. Whatever mysterious thing is being offered, let's do this.
Laura, I gotta say, I want to say that I appreciate you have beaten nearly every guest at least one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you not only remembered the name of the email address to send your questions in, you said it before the podcast.
Exactly, you know, this is how you know
smart.
That I actually listen to the thing that I'm on.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
My favorite
one
thing!
Not one
yeah.
of them poser guests.
That's my favorite part, where we ask guests what email address, and they just
it's
fucking
a test!
I know, like, I was just, like, quietly hoping that this wouldn't come up until the mailbag, just so I could have my really smug moment of being like, yeah, I know the email address. Fuck you all. Yeah.
But the problem is that now you've ruined this week for yourself because you've already been on it, so there's nothing to listen to after.
Oh no, I have ruined everything. My week is ruined. This was all an elaborate ruse. What will I do with my Monday night now that I'm not live watching the podcast? What will I do?
I can't believe there are that many people that listen to the podcast on Monday night. That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I throw it up for like any of the fiends that need it, you know, because I get home and I just do it. I throw it up right away. But like the official release is Tuesday, so that anything that goes wrong can be accounted for.
Can be you take that rug and you sweep, just push it
right
under
underneath it.
Because I always used to listen.
I sleep under that rug.
When I was podcast fiending all the time, it was like I was always listening to them the morning after on like whatever lonely bus ride I was on, or commute or what have you. The idea that people just sit there and listen to a podcast in their house seems totally crazy to me.
No,
well, see,
dude.
I have this problem that I used to commute to and from work, and I had that time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah,
and then I stopped having a commute when I started working from home, and I'm like, I either stop listening to podcasts at all, or I guess I listen to them from home now, and I became one of those people who'll just sit at home and listen to a podcast, because apparently we do exist.
Yeah, it's become hard for me to actually, like, watch and get through things on my watch list, because at home now all day I just have my playlist of like five or six comedy podcasts that I listen to, and they're just like and or radio shows, and they're just constantly playing, so it's like it's the sound of my house is people talking.
The sound of your house is Jim Norton talking about the shit.
It's Jim Norton. Yeah, it's Bobby Kelly. It's all those guys, the good ones, and the Legion of Skanks, all those fun guys. So, no, I totally like.
That sounds horrible.
What?
That sounds awful. The idea of opening up the door and be like, I'm home, and like Jim Norton is in the other room blabbing about his stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What did he have to clean off of his chest this week?
If you
right.
want to waste it.
Right. No, but that's it. So I have gotten through a lot of like podcast type things that way, and I don't have a commute really either. You know?
I did the opposite. I kind of just stopped listening to podcasts in general. Except for one very specific exception, and that's when it's like a Sunday, and it's like, boy, I gotta really grind this out, and it's gonna be real boring. Just put on
right.
8 hours of podcast.
I have gone the route of any time I play like The Binding of Isaac or anything like that, where I'm just doing run after run, that's when I put podcasts on now.
Yeah,
I think the only one I stopped listening to full stop was I used to really like Welcome to Night Vale, and I can't listen to it because... I used to listen to it either walking to work at 5 a.m. or walking home at like 11 p.m. in the pitch black by myself alone, and that kind of feels like the only way to listen to that podcast. And I don't feel like I can sit in a lit living room and just be like, "Yeah, let's listen to these weird stories about bizarre nowhere town."
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot about that, actually, and I believe my girlfriend listens to it. But
is that the number one podcast?
It's pretty much the number one that rotates out there with Rogan and Serial and a couple of those other ones. This American Life gets really a lot of push. I need to check out other people in the podcasting world that is not video games and just comedy.
If you're doing that, then you'll have less time for making things. And really, what is life worth if we're not making things all of the time?
Wow! I have a total opposition to that statement.
Oh boy,
making things is for suckers. The trick is to get by doing as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is fair. I wish I could feel that way about creating.
Laura, he's just trying to not let it set in.
Clone myself right now and have an identical me just do all of this, and I'll just go home and play For Honor all day. I will just do that.
Yeah, well, guess what? The clone of you would just sit here and also do nothing.
Oh, and then we have
actually, the clone would probably try to fight you back to your place to get there first. Or that.
Yeah.
I mean, look. So speaking of making things and such, I guess to introduce you, you're from the Podquisition.
Yeah.
Across the pond, definitely.
I'm from places on the internet.
Writing articles.
Yeah, I used to write at Destructoid, and then they very unceremoniously let me and my UK team go with like 2 days' notice. So we went and started letsplayvideogames.com, where it's like half serious journalism and half just the shittiest shit posts.
Okay,
that sounds like a former Destructoid employee.
Exactly. And then I do Podquisition, which is gaming news podcast with Jim Sterling and Miracle of Sound Gavin Dunn. Yeah. And then I just do a bunch of other shit on the internet for anywhere that will give me money to do so, because that's the dream, everyone.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you somehow stumbled across our humble little podcast and have enjoyed it. So I guess...
Wow, your humility is, like, awkward.
See,
you found yourself in the right place with the city's biggest podcast.
It's clearly very sincere, but it's also a little stilted and awkward. It's adorable.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
like, you're being all sincere with you, like, oh, you know, our little podcast. And I'm like, oh, I listen. Like, when I started doing Podquisition, I was like, I hope that one day we can be as big as the Super Fresh Friend cast that I enjoy listening to, and are bigger than.
That's ridiculous.
You know.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Insane. You aspirational, you lot.
Hey,
and now.
Bully. Now that existential crisis you have, you're having it right now. Your life is stupid. It has no value.
Okay, look.
It's fine. You've stooped to the level of having me on. I'm happy now. It's all good.
Hey. All I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to find a nice way to ask you how your week went.
How's my week? My week has been pretty good, made all the better by I've been listening to you lot talk about Terrace House for a while, and it hasn't been on UK Netflix.
Well, not necessarily you lot.
It's Matt.
It's Matt. Okay, but Matt talking about Terrace House has been annoying me because it hasn't been on UK Netflix for the longest time, and I couldn't be bothered to try and get around Netflix's new irritating "we don't want you using proxies and whatnot."
I saw that over out in Europe, they got some new European law that says that geo-blocking is now off limits.
Apparently it is, but the internet's worldwide, so everyone just says, "We're not a European company. What are you going to do to us?"
No. Just figure out some way to watch your Netflix. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I was happy to find out that it just came to UK Netflix, so I didn't have to bother.
Nice. Oh,
and that has been a good chunk of my week. Is the wonderful world that is Terrace House, because I started watching Aloha State, I think is the series set in Hawaii.
Right, the new
and,
one.
And basically, my entire week has just been, oh my goodness, I love this dorky ukulele-playing child. Who will he fall in love with? And I like the weird contrast between the cast in the house all clearly being very, very awkward about the social scenario. Mm-hmm. And the people commenting over it basically just joking about, like, how long is it until two of these people bang? And that back and forth contrast makes me very happy.
like, I just, the thing that he always goes on about that I really need to experience is, like, it's all the stupidity of, like, Temptation Island or some shit like that, but just with the timidness of really, really Japanese people. And well, that's kind of what I want to see. I want to know what the deal is.
Yeah, it is basically, like, imagine if you watched something like Big Brother or whatever American equivalent you have that is meant to be, oh, everyone gets really annoyed and angry at each other as the show goes on. But instead, it's just everyone gets more and more awkward and timid because they put a little bit of themselves out there and instantly regret it. And they're all like, oh, no, I showed a little too much of myself. I have to be more humble and quiet down. And it makes rooting for them all the sweeter because, you know, they're all just so shy. You just want them to break out of their shells just a little bit. And it's heartwarming.
Was anyone yelled at for not considering the feelings of others?
Oh, that is...
Or working hard enough.
Usually it's people shouting at themselves for not doing that. It's people will be like, oh no, like Ukulele Kid is my central focus point for this at the moment. But he keeps just being like, people in the house will ask him to play his ukulele or his guitar, and he'll play one song and then quickly apologize and put it away and apologize for taking up their time. I'm like, no, it's adorable. You played really well and everyone liked it. Don't apologize that you did it.
I much great. Prefer that that's to great. The our old pal Guitar Bro sitting on the fucking staircase to the second floor with their hair out talking about how
what do you mean
whatever's not- their fucking favorite but overrated Radiohead album,
dude that Guitar Bro is usually in the dorms with his door open playing, hoping that someone will wander by and be like,
man,
you jamming out in here? Is that some?
Let me tell you about
some playing
math.
Some Incubus over in
let
here.
Let me tell you about some math core.
Ukulele Kid on the first day in the house is like, oh, I might sit in the guy's dorm and I might play ukulele just forever. And they're all like, yeah, that's no problem. And then he just never does that. He's too shy to even play when asked. I'm like, oh, you're so sweet, and I love you, and you are my life now. So yeah. Terrace House is pretty good.
That's another recommendation for Terrace House.
Can we get a Western syndicated version of that game show where they kidnapped that guy and locked him in a house?
I
want that.
But I feel the spirit of your demands.
Yeah, no, I want that shit. And he had to win. He had to live off of like mail-in like contest sweepstakes and shit. And then when he finally won enough to leave, they shipped him out to Korea and hid him in a bigger house.
I have no idea what this show is, and
oh,
now
man,
I need to
I gotta
see
look
it.
This up. Yeah. I gotta find the name of this.
Right, like combine that with like Carl Pilkington.
Oh,
an idiot abroad.
I saw
just...
somebody on our Reddit said, "Oh, you guys should watch that shit." We watched it.
Oh man,
of course we watched it. Carl Pilkington is my fucking hero.
I can't be doing with this. But anyway, that was that. What else did you have?
What else did I do in my week? I finally got around to playing Nioh. And as someone that loves the Dark Souls games and is abjectly terrible at actually playing them, Nioh is amazing, and I know I will never complete that game. Because, my god, I can see what I need to do. There are several bosses in that game that I will never get past, and it will not stop me from playing countless goddamn hours of it.
Okay, so I guess then, well... I don't know. There was a thing that popped out of where Polygon was like, "Yo, this game's hard. We're just gonna
fake it.
We don't have time. This is really hard, and we can't do it on time." And it's like, all right, you know. But I guess
really,
like,
you don't have a single person on staff.
I don't know.
Okay,
but the game has become like. There's even been changes from the last chance beta to
which
now,
which was not long ago.
Mm.
That have made it a little bit harder. Even like you can't co-op blind with your friends. Even you can only grab people that have already done it.
Watching people go crazy mad over that made me feel so good inside.
Really?
Oh man, people are so okay. So in the Souls community, people have been trying to figure out a way. Remember Liam did this with Demon's Souls where he beat the whole game in co-op with a friend.
Uh-huh.
He bullshitted away around it. And people always wanted that. Like as a regular, like real option that you don't have to fuck with.
To play a two-player game,
basically. Every single time they get rebuffed. And the reason for that is because the game isn't designed for multiple player. Like, you played a bunch of them, Alora. I'm sure you played a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like, the bosses don't know how to track multiple targets.
Or projectiles, for that matter.
Right?
Like, it's very easy to
in the beta, like, you could totally do the co-op exactly how people always wanted it. Mm. And in the base game, not only can you not do that, you can't co-op with anyone unless one of the people has already beaten the stage.
Yeah.
It's explicitly a helper function now, where your pal can be like, oh, I'll help you out with this, and why are they doing it? They're doing it for gear drops.
But it's not meant to be co-op together.
And watching, like, old-timey Souls fans, like, go nuts over it, just made, my chest is just filled to burst.
Yeah, I get entirely why it's there, because that is the whole thing, that with all the Souls games, when you play it with a second person against bosses, it's just, oh, I'll keep the attention and dodge back and forth in front of its face.
Hilarious.
You run behind it and stab it. That's just what you do.
Yeah.
And I totally get why that breaks everything. There have been moments with Neo where I'm like, you know, I get why that's not a thing, but also, I am stuck, and my friends are stuck, and we wouldn't be stuck if we could do this together, and please let us do it. Please.
Well, one of you just has to persevere through.
I'm persevering. I'll get there one day.
No, but just one of you. If one of you manages it, they
every
can help
time.
The
yeah.
others. Yeah.
No, I on it, like, I it looks like the kind of game that, like, I think I'd like to see just, like, what the drop-off rate is, and at what levels, and at what point.
Mm. There's a way to do that, and it's you check achievements. You check trophies.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Because I'm like, because they have the metrics, obviously, internally.
Yeah.
But
you can, so because there's trophy rarity now in PSN.
And
you can just go
see
down.
See how many other
people
have
it. You can go down the trophies
it.
For beating bosses or clearing levels, and you whichever metric it uses. I'm not sure if there's one for bosses or levels, but I'm sure there's one for each of the four zones. And you can go, this the trophy for first boss or first level, oh, that's 85%.
Yeah.
Well, what about the second one? What about the third one?
I mean, I feel like if you came off of Ninja Gaiden games, you're kind of prepared. But if you
came off of Souls, you're not.
If you came off of Souls, you're not. And I think that if you came off of neither, it's probably impenetrable.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing for me coming off of Souls was that with Souls, usually both you and the boss are dealing less damage at a time to each other than in Neo.
Yeah.
So if you mess up for a second, you can usually back away, recover, you've got some time. With Neo, if you make a mistake once and the boss hits you, that's like, oh, 2/3 of my health is gone in one attack. I probably shouldn't have messed up like that.
I'm genuinely shocked how much damage you do to the bosses overall.
Yeah, like, it really is much more of a game of notice those very small patterns from a distance, be sure that you can get in, get your attack done, and get out without getting hurt. Don't just try and brute force it.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone like me that fairly brute forced their way through Dark Souls, I do not feel like the game's unfair, but I am struggling.
Well, there is one thing about it that is explicitly fair in a way that the Souls games are not, and it's probably my favorite thing about the entire game, and that's that every enemy, including bosses, has the stamina bar that you can actually deplete.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Having bosses run out of stamina is the best.
Oh, it's so good.
You can bait them into it, and then
because
you're already
that's the thing is you're not going to win unless you have already perfected the pattern. Right. You have to know the pattern and perfect it, and like you said, two mistakes and you're dead. Then you get those moments of like, okay, here's your reward. You've blown the stamina out. It's just going to drop now, and you can just lay into it with whatever you've got.
Mm.
And like, that's where a lot of your major damage is going to come from. I realized though early on that I one-shotted the first boss in the beta, and I had a little problem. And then in the full game, I was fucking suffering. And I was like, what is the difference here? And I realized it was because I switched up my weapon sets and I had just used a heavy axe and went in the first time and just went for the biggest damage I could, one shot, and ran back out.
Mm-hmm.
Taking little mini chops at the boss's life really is not, until you at least level it out or find something advanced, it's not satisfying and you're not doing a ton right away. So the fight lasts almost twice, if not three times as long.
I found that the low stance is the best for those. Like, the smaller, the faster, the better it is.
Yeah.
But also when I need to fucking move. So yeah. I will do so. Like that first boss, for example, I would often switch into low stance to dodge his spin. Or dodge the throw
where right.
he throws a cannonball on you, and then switch back in a high stance. The way that there are all these abilities that give you bonuses on stance switching, it really makes me feel like they want you to be doing this
constantly.
Just all the time.
Yeah.
Which I know I'm not doing nearly enough of. Like, I got through the first boss fine without doing much of it, and then the second boss just kicked my ass, and I was like, okay.
Second boss is really hard!
It's so much harder than the third and fourth. It's just, it's a spike.
I've seen, yeah.
Holy shit.
It is just that spike near the beginning to be like, no, this game is not messing around. You will sometimes get your ass kicked. You had your nice, gentle intro. Get ready to fucking die.
And that cave level isn't that bad. Like, the boss's power compared to the stage that it's in is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, there is one thing you can do, which is, like, it takes a minute to get there, but the sloth talismans, have you heard about those? Sloth talismans, basically, it's like one of the types of ninjutsu you can unlock, and you can basically get a buff that when you proc it, it slows down anything that's attacking you by about 50%.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
And so you're watching the bat doing super slow spins and running up to you underwater, and you have complete free time to do whatever you want to it. It's a joke. It's actually a joke.
I am very weirded out and simultaneously impressed at what they've done with the ninja and magic systems in that game because they're not... In Souls, you always got the feeling that your path is strength or speed. Your path is magic or not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here it's like, no, do it all. You have separate skill points for ninja and magic. Like, you're intended to use them.
You can absolutely branch in the way you want. And at the same time,
can you futz with my knob again?
Yeah,
I think
your volume is doing it again.
Hello? Yeah.
There you go.
There's something wrong with that position on the knob.
Yeah, knob futzing.
We love to futz with knobs over here.
Gotta futz. No, but I think that the way it's also set up, too, is that... Yeah, thank you for the sound effects.
It's a penis.
Yeah. So, listen. Everyone... the fact that... you have the ability to respec means that any mistakes you make in your build, you can fix them later too. So
we're playing Dark Souls 1 right now, and it's just like when I remember the very specific look on your face. So I'm like, Wooly, there's no respec in this game. Your mistakes will live forever. And you just got so intimidated for those first few levels that I feel like that's a necessary feature in a game like this, the ability to respec all your points.
Well, but it's more along the lines of how likely is it that going through it, stumbling into what you kind of want, but you don't know what's coming, how likely is that going to lead to you making a shit build?
I bet it's pretty likely, actually, with the way the systems work here.
Like, not even not optimized, but just blindly going through it, going, I didn't know I was going to pick up this awesome thing, leads to you having a really shitty
spread. Or what's worse is, like, I didn't know I hated this playstyle until I got too deep into it to change.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad that this, in its first incarnation, has that respec, because, like, I would always rather the first entry in a series have respec, because you don't really know what half of those features do. If Dark Souls 3 had come out and didn't have a respec, it would have been shitty, but it wouldn't have been as bad as, say, Neo not having one I have some past experience of what the stats here mean, how likely I'm going to need to commit to something, how far I can go down those trees before I have committed. I'm glad that this, on its first entry, is like, no, we're just going to start you off, you can respec, that's all good.
I pumped a dozen points before I watched a video explaining to me what the how many of your secondary stats are required to unlock the bonuses on armor. And then I explained that to Wooly a few days ago, and it had completely flown over your head because it's so non-obvious that every stat affects whether or not your armors have abilities or not.
Right.
Or that spirit affects these huge passive buffs that your little fire dog or shark give you.
Yeah, that was not explained well at all. I equally did not know until someone told me, and I was irritated. It's just that moment of, could I have been having an easier time if the game had just told me this is what's going on? Yeah.
And it's impenetrable in... how do I put this? When Dark Souls, when Demon Souls came out, it was impenetrable in a very specific way, in that all of its mechanics were obscured, right? The weapon upgrade system was baffling and used 19 different materials, and in order to ascend a weapon to a fancy boss soul, it had to be at a specific upgrade, an upgrade path in some cases. Mm. How to summon people was very weird and obscure, and tendency was never explained at all in game, and you had to go look at a guy, right? And that's why it was there. Neo is the complete opposite. It's confusing, and it's impenetrable because there's too much. There's too much data. Yeah. Every single item you pick up has 10 lines of statistics on it.
And colors, and yeah, forget the shop itself. I remember like getting into that. I remember the first demo, completely ignoring the skill menu.
Yep,
just never
didn't
even
didn't know it was there until Liam told me to look at it.
And then afterwards, going through it and being like, okay, so I have a ton of points. I can go all the way through one of these or whatever. And then you're kind of like, no. Anytime you're unlocking a moveset, you have to really unlock it 3 times for each stance. Mm-hmm. And each stance you're going to need to switch into for different situations.
Unless you just want to go all power stance.
Which you can do, but that's probably going to fuck you over
at some point.
In an hour. You know? Like, it really is.
Because I remember getting that feeling where I leveled up my ki, and I'm like, oh my god, I just gained 6 levels! And I blew it on one move across all 3 stances.
Yeah. It's like it's that feeling of like being dropped off in like an open world and like not being told where to go, but it's not the actual level. It's just the character.
Yeah,
there's just so much, and you're spoiled for choice that you're just like, I'm just gonna sit here, and
I've been in the situation where it's like I have not played that much because the For Honor beta stole all my time from
Absolutely.
Neo. But I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at the fucking magic and ninja sections, and I have, like, 4 or 5 skill points in them. And I'm just like, I'm going to do that later. I'm just going to go look at that later. I'm just gonna focus on hitting things with my sword.
Learn that moveset. Because
that looks confusing. Yeah. That looks weird.
Exactly. I keep not upgrading things, not because I don't have the resources, but because I'm just, maybe if I keep playing, I will somehow magically work out what half of these menus mean. And then it'll be fine, and I'll know what to do with it if I just wait a bit.
Neo is made for a very specific type of person.
It's made for the super hardcore audience.
It's for the same type of person that loved the Disgaea item world.
Yeah, a little bit.
And they wanted this wanted the genre equivalent, you know?
Like the fact that the game has glamour. The fact that you can glamour your items to look in as part of a unified set
fashion
or look
is part of it.
Like they finally did it.
Like they got so close with Bloodborne where like a lot of the stats just didn't mean much, so you could theme your stuff. But this is like no, you can actually get the stats that mean something and have it look nice and good.
Because I remember there used to be, or there probably still is for Dark Souls 1 and all of them. There's a thing where you punch in your stats and you punch in your desired weapon type, and it will make an armor set that is ideal.
Okay,
it will go here's the closest you're gonna get to this weight reduction.
Yeah.
And all of them look like trash because it's always a heavy chest of with course. Like tiny little wristbands and fucking stupid boots.
I feel like a lot of this the trouble we're having too with the armor and the menus and such, like if there was an optimized button, if there was a button that at least said we suggest this, that would probably help a lot.
But if that was in there, all you would get is just everyone complaining, why are you making this game too easy, why are you taking all the challenge out of making your builds, like that's all you'd get people shouting about.
There's a weird element to that where I think the reason why there's no optimized button in there is because they want you to build your set like you would build a deck of cards in something like Magic or Hearthstone
on a granular level where you're affecting things by 3.1%.
Because it's like no, we want people to really make their Geralt whatever his name is.
He looks like Geralt. It's William.
William, we really want everybody to make their William their own and there are stats on there that increase stuff like back damage or counter hit damage that can be highly successful for very specific playstyle.
At the very least, let me pick a sword or whatever weapon and just go, look, I'm going to pick up a ton of trash. Just feed all of it into this thing. That's if it's shittier than what I've got, feed it in and give me the best ones.
Mm. Game's itemization is out of control. It is genuine problem all the time.
So yeah, that was me getting buried in Neo, okay. Because that was the thing. I think the only other thing that was like new this week that I did is I went and saw the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, how was it?
It's really good. It's really good. So here's the thing. Before I watched the Lego Batman movie, I would have had zero interest in the trailer that dropped this week for, I think it's the Lego Ninjago movie.
Oh, what? I didn't even hear about this.
Oh, there's a trailer. It's basically Lego if they made a Lego movie style thing about their ninja brand. I would have had no interest in paying attention to that until I saw Lego Batman. And Here's the deal. The Lego movie, I thought, was fantastic. I thought it was a very, very, very well-made film.
You're right to think that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went into Lego Batman, similar level of quality. It is a very, awesome. Very good, very well-paced film, very funny, does not take itself too seriously, really pulls itself together nicely at the end and has a satisfying ending. And I'm now like, oh, the people making these Lego movies are really on a roll of, like, really good comedy films. I will probably go and see the Lego Ninjago movie, and they have won me over. They are
probably
making good films.
The master plan, honestly.
Yeah, like they get me to care about Lego brands that I don't care about because they keep making good films.
The honestly, like, the Lego Batman trailers, like, sold me immediately, and like, yeah, going off of the Lego movie, you kind of go like, okay, no, they know what they're doing. This is probably going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Ninjago sounds like a weird-ass pick to go with for your next franchise, but if they haven't fucked up so far, then I guess there's reason to trust it.
I will give them benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm going to stay spoiler-free on the Lego Batman movie and just say it is the most I've enjoyed a Batman film in a while. And
It'd be nice to go see a Batman movie where you can smile.
Yeah.
Where we can smile again.
Like, the character's motivations are all intact. It's still the same character with the same motivations and the same end goals, but they don't insist on being grimdark every second of every moment. They allow him to have to poke some fun at the fact that he is traditionally portrayed as a grimdark character.
It's Will Arnett.
Will Arnett's voicing it grimdark over the top. You can't possibly actually...
You can't take it seriously. It is a really good laugh. It is paced solidly the whole way through, and I saw the first trailer they put out for it, didn't watch any more trailers, didn't feel like anything had been spoiled for me. So
fantastic.
It's well worth watching. If you like the Lego movie, go see the Lego Batman movie. It's another very good quality comedy.
Yeah. I actually had the choice between that and a couple other things this week, and I didn't go see that.
What did you choose instead?
I'll get into that when it's my turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, was one of those things that you chose to see John Wick 2?
That might have been the one.
Okay, so that's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a good film. I forgot to say that I saw that.
You saw it as well.
Yeah, I saw it as well. It's a good film. I went into like three films this week.
Is there anything that we can talk... Okay. Because there's no story.
Yeah, I guess we're in it now, so we might as well just get into it, but... Fucking John Wick 2. Oh god. Okay. Like,
there's no story to this
really,
movie.
No, and they just leaned in heavy to what people loved about the first one,
which is the bizarre assassin world,
and how this guy is just ridiculously respected, and everyone shits their pants, but still tries to kill him.
there is one thing in this film that I would put. It was in the first one. And it's here again, and here it's so absurd that it's bordering on plot hole. And it's a guy comes to John Wick and says, I need you to do a job because only you can do the job, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Only you can murder this person because you're the greatest and no one could ever kill you. Mm-hmm. As soon as the job is completed, he then attempts to murder John and fails. And everyone constantly makes this mistake.
Yeah.
Every single person in the movie is like, oh, no one could ever kill John except for me. I'm going to kill him. And then they get killed.
Yeah. Let's not go into spoilers, but I think, like...
It's weird.
It's super baffling that the people who know are still like, I'm going to try anyway. Mm. You know, that's that. But that's everyone. That's yeah. every grunt.
Every single person.
Every grunt he takes out knows, but goes, ah, fuck it.
I'm going to be the guy.
Maybe today's my lucky day. You
and
know?
So.
There's never been a film that I have been quite so happy about going into and being like, every plot point is transparent. There are basically no plot points because there is no story. You know what's going to happen everywhere because John Wick's just going to kill everyone. And I
You're never sitting there going, oh, I wonder how John Wick's going to get out of this.
He's going to murder them. That's all that he's going to do. And that's great. And I expected
that they would take the... Because, you know, in the first movie, like, he kills a bunch of people. And he generally has, I guess, like, good, like, gun discipline. Where it's like double tap, right? And all that stuff. Like, but the fact that, like, there was a couple of, extreme moments in the first one where it's, like, shoot a guy in the foot or whatever, drop to the ground, another guy comes up, deal with him, and then go back to the guy you're in front of you or whatever. They took that, and they took the point blank chest, head. They just tripled down on it.
It's ridiculous.
And no one gets sent to the afterlife in this without at least two bullets.
No one. Even when he's using the shotgun.
you have the complete...
He's double tapping people from 2 feet away with a shotgun.
Center mass head. Leave nothing uncertain. Except for the people who are cool and
plot related.
Cameo plot related characters. They get to have their faces. But no one else, though.
Now, Laura, you wouldn't have been able to pick up on this, but no, Wooly, I know you did.
What?
This is the movie. I have never seen a film so obviously not be set where it's supposed to be set.
Yeah.
I watched this at the Banque Scotia Theater in downtown Montreal.
Yep.
Where the first chase scene takes place
outside.
One block away to the point where you can see the theater when he goes to pick up the key card.
And so it immediately got distracted.
And there's a 30-minute sequence in which he's being chased by assassins in the middle of the movie as he runs from the Eaton Center Complex des Arts bathroom near the EB Games. to the fucking Place des Arts Metro, and he stands in front of that like
the big
glass mural that we have there,
and I'm like, you're just inside of our metro station.
It's so weird, and it lasts for a long time.
And he's outside blitzing down St. Catherine.
He fights that Chinese guy right in front of fucking the bay in that little park.
Yeah, dude, it's weird. It's a weird one.
So weird because it's moment to moment to moment to moment, and these areas are all three blocks from one another.
I haven't had that since the Jackal, where like the entire finale of the Jackal takes place in Lino Gru, and
you know what? In Punisher Warzone, Punisher's secret base is just behind the tracks at the Lino Gru metro station.
Yeah. And it just and I it's cool, but I hate it because it pulls me out of it
because it's supposed to be New York.
Yeah,
and you're watching it in a Montreal theater, and everyone's laughing every scene.
Yes,
because it's. It's less than 400 feet away.
And they threw up a Citibank sign and like...
And they changed the signs to English.
And that's about it.
See, here's the thing. There are films where that would be like a deal breaker in stopping you, you know, taking the film seriously. I think this is the film where you can get away with that kind of stupid immersion breaking because the whole film's a bit ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
it's one where it's like more it doesn't matter that I'm laughing while everyone's getting murdered because that's the whole point here.
Yeah, and they lean into like even the setup on your intro where it's like, okay, so we knew what the last catalyst was for the first movie with the fucking dog. What are we gonna do this time?
Oh, it's the house,
and it's like starting it out is the car. Yeah, and you're just like, okay. What ridiculous possession did you disrespect him by, like, you know, destroying or taking away or whatever?
Only one flaw in the whole movie. Ending's really bad. I hate the ending.
It's weird. It was weird. I think that it was mainly about setting up the third one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was about
trying so hard to set up a sequel that it itself has an unsatisfying resolution.
Exactly, which it feels odd to care about an unsatisfying resolution in such a plot-light film, but it still feels like it matters because it feels like they tried and failed rather than just not caring about the ending.
Also, it's just that ridiculous cameo vehicle for every actor that shows up that goes, yo, Keanu, get me in there. I want to talk about how big your dick is.
I would like to try and murder you.
Right? And like, or whatever the case is. They just, people showing up left and right to just have their scene going, oh, man. Yeah, you're
the best.
I remember you. You're fucking old. You know, and I'm just like, yeah, fine. Lean into it.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne is back in a role that means nothing, which is clearly like, I want to be in this movie.
Sure.
No, and I do appreciate the Joseph Joestar-esque setting up of what you're going to trick your enemies with, but the setup is really just, I'm going to put this really big gun here, and then I'm going to come back for it.
Yeah.
And you're going to follow me?
When he starts, there's a scene, he's going down a tunnel to go do a job, and he leaves guns all over the place. And I guess the audience is supposed to think, why did he get those guns just to leave them there? And then he ends up fighting his way back down the tunnel,
knowing that he picks
the guns up. But when he put them there, I'm like, oh, he assumes he's gonna have a running gun battle on the way out.
Yeah, and you know what I mean. And then they also like introduce what each gun is for, and like a gun porn kind
but
of.
But the weirdest one is like he puts a shotgun up in a hidden spot, and that makes sense. But he puts the AR-15 just leaning up against a wall, brightly lit. And none of the goons think to, like, maybe I should take this AR-15 if I'm tracking this murder assassin.
It's fine. It's probably just propped up against the wall because it's broken and needs repairs. No one would sensibly leave it in a brightly lit area if it was a working loaded gun.
It also is a bit ridiculous how, like, well, I mean, the moment you get to that setting where you're like, let's just blaspheme and rave inside of these ancient catacombs.
Awesome.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, but that looks like a cool party.
It does look like a cool party.
You know.
For criminals.
Basically. And then you get the reaction to, like, what's going to happen when gunfire in an open crowd goes off, right? And you get
and they ignore that
kind of like, yeah, you know. And then eventually, in multiple moments during the movie, when John Wick is just firing into a crowd,
so you
have to assume his aim is so good that he would never do that unless he knew he'd hit his mark.
The most baffling two sequences in the film, and it's both in the what's the guy's name? The black guy with the bald head.
Yeah.
The black John Wick, so basically. That's Common? Okay, great.
Cassian.
Because he's killing it. He's great in that fucking movie.
Yeah. Common's
He is believable as an equal, which the first film did not have at all.
Well, you know, he got his start in Wanted.
But they're having a gunfight, and the gunfight starts to go into more and more public areas. And they have silenced weapons, and they're just casually shooting at each other through really thick crowds of people.
Yeah.
And missing each other, but hitting no one else.
No. John, in the crowd shots, John does not miss in the crowd. Other bad guys miss shooting at him, but when he's in the crowded rooms, he hits.
But I'm talking
about the gunfight at the fountain, where there's a water fountain in front of them, and they're shooting through the water blind at a crowd.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Even if you argue just the other way around, the problem is if they're able to if they're able to not hit the crowd, but they can't hit
each other.
Yeah.
How is your aim simultaneously that good and that bad? I don't know.
And I think the absolute best thing I can't think of anything that has brought me more joy as far as gunfighting goes. Maybe Equilibrium, but when they're both walking,
that's the scene I'm talking. Yeah,
at a brisk pace, and they have the fucking guns, and they're just like,
they have it hidden under their coats, so
we're gonna take pot shots at each other and not really try to dodge, but just see if I get lucky. Like,
it's the shit.
And then
the movie builds towards a finale with an absolute absurd location that it actually set up decently.
Mm. And I want to remind everyone here too, like while we're going into this stuff, we're going into more detail than we would for the average movie in terms of spoilers.
That's fine. It has no plot.
It really doesn't matter. You will still enjoy this knowing everything we just told you.
Every one of these
turn
like,
the
things
brain off and watch the guns fire.
Everything we've hinted at, you'll see a mile away anyway. It's just the perfect film to be like slightly drunk and go in and just have a good time watching people get killed in big spectacles.
Yeah,
it's the best dumb movie I've seen in a while.
Like, if you're worried about caring about the things we're talking about, like, that's the wrong attitude.
You're caring too much.
The things that matter, we didn't bring up.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Good goddamn movie.
Yeah, man. I really liked, Common was fucking great. Ruby Rose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There.
Really, really great.
Mm. Yeah. That worked. I was a bit surprised by a bit of how they played her character.
Yeah. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. And I guess I'll say the other thing is, like, we go from, like, this is pretty much a video game to we are now full-on final boss mode video game where he's on OSP rules, where it's like, all right, look, now he's got no gun, and everything he's firing is picked up off of a body.
Yeah. Luckily, these guys were all killed so quickly, they barely had a chance to shoot.
Yeah. They didn't empty their clips.
There's one part that is also video gamey, is that whereas John Wick is... he can get a headshot upside down while spinning it around and being hit with fish. No one else can get a headshot ever.
No.
And that's a problem considering his clothes are bulletproof to a degree that is totally absurd.
Yes.
It's fine. He is the hero and he is the protagonist, and he's going to murder everyone.
He's wearing a suit in the film that is so bulletproof. At one point, somebody like shoots him 4 times in the back, totally unbeknownst to him, and he just gets up.
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, fuck it, man. You see that new dog?
That's a good dog.
Little dogger.
So Lance Reddick's there.
Little woof pupper.
So I think we've sort of got our nice point to transfer over to Wooly. What else happened during your week?
Yeah, man.
Well, before my week, let's take a quick word from our sponsor.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah. Because we are under the hour, and that's about the right time.
Who's our sponsor this week?
This week, it is Loot Crate.
Hey, Loot Crate, what's up? Do you got a box?
They got a box.
What's in the box?
The box has a different theme every month, and...
what's this month's theme, goddammit?
This month's theme is build.
Build?
Build? Can you build things using the box they send to you? Can you use that as a brick to build something?
You can use the box to do many things. If you were John Wick, you could probably kill people with the box.
Oh, absolutely.
God damn it.
With a fucking pencil?
And they bring back the same joke again! And then triple down on it. It's not the double down, it's the triple down. But I'll tell you what, if you triple down, you can get yourself a loot crate mailed straight to your door every month for less than $20. You're getting the build theme in particular is going to feature stuff from Power Rangers, Batman, Lego Dimensions, Tetris, the usual monthly t-shirt and pin, all that collectible good stuff. So if you want to get in on the build box, you have till the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to get in on this month's crate.
I don't want to build your hopes up, but I think it might be good. Oh.
Puns.
I don't have another build pun.
I would like to build us a way into... Wait, hold on. I would like to... Thanks, Loot Crate.
I need to build a wall out of this place to keep me away from you, and so I can hoard all my loot crates to myself.
There you go. Nailed it.
Nice. So,
what was that?
That means I need to free up storage space on my computer.
Oh, that's bad. You know what? You know the capture drive in that is like almost completely full.
Oh shoot, that's a problem. Yeah. But I tell you what, I have been using like my spare loot crates to hold my wires and stuff at home.
Oh dude, that so those boxes are actually the perfect size for that.
They are the perfect size for that. We got a couple of them lying around here.
We have so many cables, guys. You don't even. I imagine you have a similar problem.
So once you take the good stuff out of the box, you then use the box to put your other stuff back in. So
alternatively, you could cut a hole in that box.
You want to head down to Loot Crate so that you can see your cool stuff.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool.
Sometimes you want to see what you've put in the box. You want to head on down to lootcrate.com/super.
Valentine's Day coming around.
Enter promo code super and save $3 on your new subscription. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks.
Hey. Okay.
Totally natural segues.
We're nailing it. I had a week.
Tell me about your week.
Yeah, how was your week?
I mean, John Wick was part of it, so we've addressed.
I wish John Wick was part of my week.
Do you really? Because I don't think you do.
Do you think John Wick seems like a huge loser to hang out with?
He's not a good time.
No,
he's not a good time.
All he does is watch that fucking video of his wife over and over. It's the saddest shit in the world.
He's damaged.
Yeah,
and I think they're very clear about that. No, so beyond that, of course, there was Neo. which, mm-hmm. again, we have touched on a bit of that as well. And
how far are you getting in that?
Honestly, like, yeah, all my time that I spent, I did the first two missions there, and then I was totally interrupted by For Honor.
Isn't it nice to be able to take a nice leisurely pace with a game like that?
Yes.
For the first time in a long time.
Yes, I'm really enjoying that.
All right, so I don't know about you, Wooly, but I've been consistently hounded on Twitter, stream chat, everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. We are not doing an LP of Neo.
That part of it.
We are not doing an LP of Neo.
You don't want to simultaneously do that in Dark Souls? I can't imagine why. Yeah.
And the Dark Souls 3 DLC when it comes out in fucking March.
Well, here's what I'm going to say is, I'm never going to say never, but I'm just going to say,
I am never doing an LP of Neo.
I am not doing an LP of Neo blind. There's no way I'm going to do that. If I ever consider it, it'll be after I've beaten it, and I know it, and I want to do it that way. Because right now,
it's rough.
This is for me. I want to enjoy this for me.
You get one.
I get one for me. Yeah. I'm allowed to have one. So that's about that. I think that, you know, it could be – for me, I can possibly take a stab at it later on down. But right now, I just want to enjoy it on my time at my pace.
So. But – that pace was interrupted by For Honor.
It was interrupted by For Honor.
Why was it interrupted by For Honor, though?
Because For Honor was on its final beta for the last 2-3 days.
And at 5 p.m. on Sunday, and I know that because it kicked me off.
And man, oh man.
Man, oh man.
Jeez, oh jeez. Those guys have figured it out. That bearded motherfucker that walked up on stage, whatever his name was, mm-hmm. that guy, mm-hmm. he knows a thing or two about swords. Let me tell you what.
Did you see the clip I put on my Twitter yesterday?
The 1v4?
The 1v4 where the guy totally takes it?
Yep.
That's the shit.
So I think For Honor does a lot for... not to always bring it back to fighting games, but
it does do a lot for fighting games.
Because... I think this is a great tool for bringing the mentality and the things that make fighting games good. I think it brings that to people that might not be interested in fighting games
right away. The execution barrier, we really liked Rising Thunder, where the execution barrier was nil.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. The execution barrier in Rising Thunder was not nil, because this execution barrier is nil.
But here's the thing. It is impossible to play this without being confronted by the mechanics and having
you'll die
to
in a second.
You have to learn them to at least a basic level.
Well, in fact, it won't even let you play multiplayer until you're able to beat like one AI.
That is true. But the basic exchange of volleys of like blocking, dodging, and, you know, playing the rock, paper, scissors of swinging, what your heavies do and what your lights do.
What's guaranteed off of what?
That is so key. And like the spacing and the footsies involved in like approaching and locking on and so forth. Like all of that is so, it's very simple to do. And you can wrap your head around it. And like, again, the moment you do, you understand, okay, now I'm anticipating what he's going to do. Because it's not, execution's not what I'm worried about. I might not be familiar with what his character
is waiting
for something I can read, which is one of these three directions, mm-hmm. and I have multiple counters.
Now, there are three classes that do say, listen, do you want a higher execution character, here you go.
Yeah.
And they revolve around pretty fast reflexes to do some of their stuff.
So I'm interested in knowing what your pick was.
I played everybody. The problem that I have is that while I may have a couple picks now, all three characters that are not in this beta are the ones I want to play.
Right.
I want to play the Shigoki because he's the biggest and he's the heaviest.
Yeah.
I want to play the Valkyrie because I really like the idea of shield and spear. And I desperately, desperately want to play the Lawbringer because the poleaxe is the coolest fucking medieval weapon ever.
Hey, you saw the footage that came out?
Yeah, I fucking did. That being said, the characters that I had the most success were all three available Vikings.
Vikings, okay.
All three of them.
Okay.
Warlord got a hard nerf since the last beta. But he's still fantastic. You know Wooly when he does his full block stance?
Yes.
How his stamina doesn't regen for multiple seconds?
Yeah.
That did not used to be the case.
Oh.
It was so strong.
I'm wondering why, because when I was glancing through it and watching the videos and then advanced videos for each character to introduce them, I was wondering how come, like, I looked at it and I'm like, Warlord looks like a character I might want to play. You know, just on his breakdown video.
Yeah.
And then going online, I saw like two. No one was playing.
Because they got hard nerfed, but they're still fantastic.
He's got guaranteed counters.
Guaranteed, all the time.
I'm really surprised by how many people
and
are
on
not
on weaker characters because his R2s can't be stopped like they can't be you win on every trade
of you know and then you've got the Vanguard characters which I think you see those the most
Well they're the easiest to understand
and in particular the like I feel like everyone's playing samurais like
samurais took that beta
oh my god it's kind of like
the fucking green
it's a
50 ocean
25-25.
So the Vikings took the closed beta.
Okay.
And the Samurai took the open. And I'm worried. I don't know how they're going to balance that. I really don't. Because I wonder how the stats work for that faction conquest. Because if it's literally just more numbers equals bigger wins, then one faction is always going to totally steamroll the other two.
Mortal Kombat had this problem.
Yeah. It's like...
But did you, in the end, you kind of just stayed spread out because you didn't have...
I played enemies. Nearly every single character equally, with one exception. I played a little bit more Berserker than anybody else. The Berserker's, like, he's the guy with two axes.
Yeah.
His rushdown is so strong.
So...
His rushdown is so absurd. When he's doing his heavies and his alternating attacks on blocked opponents, his string doesn't stop. So, he can just keep doing it until it goes.
If I may.
Yes, Willie, sir.
I didn't do that. I didn't spread myself out.
You went hard.
I did what I do with a fighting game. Mm-hmm. I take a look.
Mm-hmm.
I see what sounds like
you did one spread, right? One round or two with everybody.
And then I lock the fuck in.
All right. Please don't tell me you picked Nabushi. Please don't tell me you picked Nabushi.
Oh, fuck no.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, boy.
No. I spent the entire weekend on the Berserker.
yeah. Okay.
Oh my god, dude, I love that character so much.
He plays like he's in a different game than some of the other characters.
So for me, she plays like ridiculously aggressive, and it's so fun because I like just the basic fact that it's like, okay, look, how does your block work with the Berserker? One, it's a limited thing.
You have to time it. You can't just hold
it's
it.
It's basically,
direction.
Yeah, you basically want to go for parries and whatnot. And it's like, okay. So after a while, I'm like, this is not working out. I'm approaching this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, fuck blocking. I am moving.
With the three.
And dodging. That's how I counter
with
everything.
With the Peacekeeper, the Berserker, and the Orochi, the three technical classes, the counterattackers, right analog stick is not used all that much.
When you're 2v1, you
absolutely
need it. But outside of that,
You use it to pick some of your strikes, like the Orochi's up attack, like hits twice guaranteed, for example. But Berserker's best attack is dodge to the side and spin attack.
And that's the thing, is that's a guarantee off of a nice, you know, predictable swing. Or if you wait till the last second
and really nail it,
you get riposte timing.
And you get a guaranteed grab.
And that is fucking great because that guaranteed grab also is the same time frame that you can do her spin attack.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd clear mm-hmm. is guaranteed, and then off of the that you can go into the infinite.
So if you really adore Berserker, you should definitely spend some time and check out the Peacekeeper and the Orochi because they don't work exactly the same. They're not quite as aggressive, but they have benefits that the Berserker doesn't.
Aesthetically, I kind of just want to play a Viking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie.
So you went
like,
Team Viking.
Like, fuck it entirely. I'm looking at this. I'm like, look, everyone's going to be a fucking samurai. I don't want that. I want to play as a Viking. That's what's interesting to me.
Okay, so we're putting it down then, now that we have a consensus. If the best friends, Team Viking... Go Team Viking.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because I picked Viking. Whoever I play, I'm still picking Team Viking.
And
I like the snow areas the best too. So
also,
lucky win.
Also, I'm like, it's the most interesting to me because it's the thing I've done the least.
Yeah.
You know, I know I've played knights in other games.
I want to say though. I haven't
done Vikings that often.
The knight designs in this game are fantastic.
They're great.
They're absolutely
fantastic. But I've done it. You know, and so I want to do something new. In the same way that I like the chain and sickle in Neo because I've never used that.
Oh, that character's
game.
Coming to. To For Honor.
Well, fucking
Ninjutsu Kurosarigama character is going to be one of the first DLC characters.
Because that's that, like, to me, it's just like, what's new, what's interesting? And, like, I'm all about that fucking Berserker, man.
So good, dude.
Like, And it's so weird because I'm used to going with, like, yeah, I like playing heavy characters as well, too, sometimes.
Usually you know? Go, like, a rock, a brick, a hard defense.
Or something, yeah, something with a really good defense, but, like, movement options, man. Attacking off of movement, juking and jiving, getting behind you.
Unblockable light starters.
You know?
Uninterruptible light starters.
And then the stamina reward for keeping that going.
Like, so now I can just do it.
Yeah. And like, but you get exhausted constantly and mm-hmm. really quick, so you have to really back off.
You have to learn your throw breaks, which is very hard for me in this game. So, throw breaks are very difficult for me to wrap my head around.
That's nuts. They're so easy.
Well, here's the reason. Because throw breaks in For Honor do not work like a tech.
They work 100% like a tech.
Wooly, if you both throw at the same time, it does not work. You have to tech on reaction.
Yeah, but the window
is massive.
It's insanely
but
huge.
But my brain
to, like,
doesn't do that, Wooly. I naturally intuit techs from when people are... I guess techs, right? I don't react to techs. So having to change from guessing a throw break to actually reacting on a throw break is very different. That being said, you can kill people with your throw techs in this game because they fly. If your back is to a cliff, if you're on one of those little bridge areas, right?
Yeah.
And you're in your heart, you're like, he's going to try and throw me off.
Yeah.
Just sit there and wait. And the instant your character gets popped, just and they're off
well,
the side.
The thing is that a lot of people early on, at least in the beginning levels, don't even really know that you can direct your throw.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you're standing on an open-sided like bridge or whatever, and then you land a throw and just hold left, and that's an instant kill.
And they're gone. Bye.
You know, did you
kill anybody with the non-cliff based
yes.
environment?
You fucking toss them off, and then you get the lock-on drop.
No, I mean like there's spikes on the walls in some stages as
oh,
well.
Oh no, I haven't done any of those. Oh wait, no, I did get one. I got the geyser.
There's
okay, a water
geyser. There's the geyser. There's the falls, which are everywhere. There's spikes on the walls, and then there's also flame. If you throw people in a flame, they take huge amounts of
right.
damage.
Yeah. No, I like love the fact that all of that shit matters. What I can say is my friends kind of were telling me about this early on, and then now I feel it more than ever. The game, to me at least, is 1v1 and 2v2 at most.
Yes.
Anything beyond that is just fucking
now. Here's
shenanigans.
The thing.
Like, you get projectiles at that point. It's just wacky. It's not balanced. You're picking up armor that can actually make you stronger. Mm-hmm. Even though it balances out a little bit, it still is just... It's wacky, right?
People are
running, like, mm-hmm. to heal their partners. Yeah, like, a lot of the time you'll see, like, sometimes you'll face off against somebody and the first thing they do is just sprint away from you.
Yeah.
It's just goofy, dumb shit.
I played a lot of 4v4 over the weekend, and it's in a period of settling out. And the biggest thing that is improving that move improved over time, and it's not because of mechanical changes. The reason why it improved is because that revenge system. So there's a revenge system, which is a comeback mechanic. If you get hit or block a lot, you gain a mode in which for 10 seconds or ish, you do more damage. You double your existing life bar.
Your hits are uninterruptible.
Your hits are uninterruptible, and if on activation, if anyone's hitting you, they'll get knocked to the floor.
Yeah.
If multiple people are attacking you, there is clearly a multiplicative buff on revenge meter because two people attacking you, you gain it in like 3 seconds. Three people attacking you, you gain it instantly.
Yeah, it's
and here's the thing, and you saw it in that 1v4 video. The biggest problem in that 4v4 mode is you're trying to hold a point and two guys are just running around to point being a gank squad. Once I had a bunch of 2v2 games and 4v4 games in which once the player base starts to get decent at countering multiple opponents, you actually want to let people finish their 1v1s.
Yeah.
Because attacking them 2-on-1 will usually end up killing both players.
And in 2v2, like, it just...
in 2v2 is really obvious.
So in 2v2, it's awesome because it's like, I naturally just wanted that. So I would kill my guy, run over to my partner, and just wait.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, all right, when you're done, I'll take him. If not, whatever. But then you realize that, like, oh, even when the people that are coming at me, like, they don't wait for that, you don't have to. They can try it. But if I know how to block off and fight two people, mm-hmm. I'm getting my revenge instantly. And, like, yeah, now you fucked up. If I kill one of you, you've got to fight me with my revenge out.
So I fought a bunch of 2v2s, and it was me and two friends and a bot. And we ran it. We got to see this balancing like hard, in which I was fighting a human opponent, and my pal was fighting the bot. right?
Mm-hmm.
And he lost to the bot, all right? And me and the other guy are in a close fight where one hit death, right? The bot runs in, strikes at me, I block it, instantly proc revenge and knock both down, kill the guy I was fighting, and then in the interim manage to kill the bot while I'm still powered up. And that happened like 6 times.
That's...
Every single time somebody, if you get decent at that and anticipating people coming at you, every single time somebody comes and tries to gank you, you can turn it around on them and immediately kill them.
And that's when you learn the benefit of throwing people down.
Yep.
Because I remember seeing, like, I know I can toss you to the floor, but why do that when I can get a guaranteed, like, decent damage combo on you? And it's like, because if you're surrounded, those 2-3 seconds are enough time to wipe somebody
else
out.
And also, if they hit the other player, they both get knocked out.
What sucks is you might not get an execution that'll heal you.
Yeah.
You know? But still, like, the fact that you can fight off the group.
Because the developers have talked about it in terms of balancing, and the revenge mode was added because there were gank squads running around. Like, in 4v4, yeah. It ended up being... the teams would all form into these balls of four players.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
And you know that they could do something like Jedi Outcast where they'd be like, okay, you can't touch two people that are dueling or whatever.
Yeah.
But they clearly don't want to do that. You know, like that could be an option that maybe they turn on. It'd be nice mm-hmm. to have the option there to see if people want it or not. But for me, it's like I just got so... Like starting a 4v4 elimination, not even the
elimination's terrible.
Yeah,
actually, Dominion is the good one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, not even talking about Dominion. Talking about elimination, where like it's like round one, and then the guy just turns around and sprints. I'm like, what?
Okay, no, elimination has severe problems,
right?
And it's because since there's no points on the map, there's nothing to draw players to anything.
And as
a result, people just run all.
They sprint to the buffs.
Elimination is terrible.
And
if you want to play 4v4, play Dominion.
And I eventually got to a point where I'm like, I killed my guy, and I'm going to stand over his over the corpse.
Yeah, so that he doesn't revive.
And then like and then the other people I was playing with started hating that. So anyway, Laura, For Honor is really good.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I did not care about it until I listened to you two talking about it, and suddenly I have this picture in my head, and I'm like... Why was it not described this way to me before? This actually sounds interesting.
Laura, do you care about fighting games at all?
I am into fighting games, and this is like, oh, this is fighting game mechanics in a 3D environment. Okay, why am I not doing this?
This is a MOBA-ized fighting game.
And
because the 4v4 mode is straight up a MOBA where you're just playing a fighting game instead of clicking a mouse.
And every input, every button, is every move is one button. You just have to be... more on your timing.
I think the longest combo in the game is like 4 inputs. And it's the Viking jump attack into headbutt into stab.
Or if you want to just do Berserker, like light, heavy, light, heavy, light, heavy, light, heavy, you know? Like.
I am very happy to hear this. The picture of it I had in my head, because I'd really not been watching much on it other than that E3 footage. Like, I had much more of a picture of something more akin to like a Dynasty Warriors or something, where it was just a lot less complex in its fighting system. I don't know why I had that mental picture of it, but suddenly it's like, oh, this is actually like one-on-one fighting mechanics going on. Oh yeah, I'm on board.
Well, the amount of
it's dueling.
The amount of inputs is incredibly low, but the amount of mechanics per strike is extremely high.
Yeah.
So you have 3 attack quadrants. Great. Let's take the Warden, for example, the default knight character, right? Side slashes, you can have R1, 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 R2, and R2, R2. And the side slashes, they'll combo into each other on the first hit if you do it. However, the up slash has a fucking 10-frame guard impact on it.
Oh.
And also, also, it gets something like a 3x damage boost if you use that guard impact, because it's stronger than a heavy if you do the guard impact version.
So How long is there left on this beta? Because now I'm suddenly thinking...
It's gone.
It ended at 5 p.m. Eastern yesterday.
Well...
And me and some friends were playing like 2v2s like right up until the moment. And it's unlocking on Steam and Uplay in 10 hours. And probably on PS4 as well.
And here's the thing, like,
yeah, I guess I will give the full thing a look then. I didn't realize it was that quick from beta to release.
Yeah, this was their last chance demo. The thing with it, too...
Before we move on to that... I played the closed beta, the last one, not the original, and I played the open beta.
stability of the matchmaking has dramatically improved. It is really
because that's my one downside.
It has been a very noticeable improvement over time. The closed beta was rough.
Right now,
and the open beta started where you couldn't do 1v1s.
There's two beefs. One is the obvious Ubisoft setup for the where the micro is going to go.
Have you played Siege or known about Siege's micro at all? Actually,
I'm aware of Siege's
because so the way that it works is that you have your loot boxes for your fancies,
yeah,
and you have your characters that unlock, but you can buy those characters with the in-game currency. And everything is technically free, though the characters cost a lot of in-game currency.
Yeah.
But it's honestly a pretty, and all maps are all free as well when they come out.
Well, in this, when I saw the thing that was like, turn on this like mode where it's like while you're in here, like whatever
champion mode,
you get more XP. And I'm like, okay,
it's a coin doubler.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know. But anyway, like my main gripe was just the matchmaking was terrible for me the entire time, and I did have stable matches, but you would just it was like almost like 50-50 in some ways, and I know that it's P2P because like frames matter,
yes,
and that's like for most people in most games where like you're dealing with where you don't have like footsies to worry about, you don't have to think about like P2P. You just go no server based whatever, but in games like this, like I understand it's the way to play is to have no middlemen. You just want you and then the person you're connected to so that it's as quickly as
so there
possible. But the downside is if they have a shitty network,
they did an
you suffer
interview
for it.
Talking about this, and the number one takeaway from that is there is no host advantage.
Okay.
Because somebody is hosting those bots, right?
Mm.
And you can tell who it is because occasionally they'll drop and then the whole game will go brrrr as it migrates to a different host.
Okay.
Right, Laura, have you ever played Gears of War or anything like that?
God.
When the host would drop, and after Gears 1, where Gears 1 the host dropped, the game would just end.
Yeah.
But later on, you got host migration, and it's this really awkward feeling where the fucking game just goes...
Yeah, I know exactly what... Yeah. And you get a warning, it says host migrating, you know?
Yeah. And I'm going to assume that most of the time the host is me. Because I have the fastest internet, and I don't drop, so that doesn't happen to other people. But yes, over time, there was a very significant increase in the reliability of that matchmaking. It was originally in that closed beta, like on when I was playing on a PS4. Like the first day, I was lucky to finish a match, even 1v1s. And the open beta, the first day of the open beta, started out really rough because something was wrong with it, and 1v1s didn't work anymore.
Oh, God.
So that's what sucks is that like about those modes is when you're queuing up for a 1v1, you're gonna sit there and wait for like 5 minutes, and when you're queuing up for 4v4, you're fucking flying.
Well,
into
that
it
did you play it on Sunday?
I played it all the whole time.
Okay, because on Sunday they finally fixed the 1v1 problem. And I was getting into matches instantly, but I was playing it on PC. Maybe that had something to do with it.
I don't know. I was on PS4. It sucked, man, because I was like, is it just... And it said, like, everything said low population, right?
That's a bug. That was a total bug.
Okay. Because I was worried that I was like, are people just really not playing 1v1 and they're all going in 4v4 and that's why it's so hard to find a match?
What happened was, the problem with that is that 1v1 was broken the day the open beta came out. It did not work at all. And as a result of that, people, when it did get fixed...
They didn't notice.
They didn't know because they weren't doing it.
Okay.
And on PC, on the last day, people started to go back into 1v1, so it started to work again. But it may not have been the case on PS4.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's other modes that are still not that were still not playable in the beta.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what they are, but...
Well,
1v1 and 2v2 is where Wooly is going to spend 99% of his time.
I am setting up shop, but you know, and it's funny how there's like items that'll be like, I'm going to take away how much time it takes for you to regen, or like the strength of like one of your procs, like your items or whatever. And it's kind of like,
so the best thing about the 1v1 and 2v2 modes is that they don't activate.
Doesn't matter.
And
at all.
In the 4v4 modes, they are activated, but you are matched based on gear level.
Right.
So you will be. You won't be matched with fucking... You shouldn't be, anyway, matched with Superman. But even if that mode becomes a trash fire, 1v1 and 2v2 are still amazing.
Last thing I'm going to say on it is that we've been talking about it with lots of like terms in terms of like, you know, like the technical abilities and so on and blah. But in general, as a whole, like despite this, our description of this being like very technical, just grab it and try to fight with it. Run through the tutorial and then fight a dude one-on-one and you will feel innately what we're talking about, and it's way simpler than it sounds.
If you do pick it up,
I'm listening back to our conversation, yeah, and I'm like, that was really complicated, and it's probably like really
the controls are dirt simple,
but it's way easier than we're making it sound.
Yeah,
all of the stuff we're thinking about is just like,
so when I said there's a guard impact,
categorizing really simple.
So
mechanics.
When I say something that sounds technical, like there's a guard impact on the warden's high light attack that triples its damage, right? That sounds complex, but all it means is that when you point up and use a light attack with the warden, if you time it right, you'll block an attack coming in and just smash down with your own. That's it.
And he glows yellow for the time frame when you can do that.
Yeah,
so
he bursts orange if you hit it.
Yeah, that, you know, so that's what I'm saying is like when you feel it, it's like it's way simpler than we're making it sound.
One thing, the advanced tutorial should be required. That,
sure.
That thing
well,
is...
Well, you get a huge point bonus for doing it, so...
You get a mat, like... Oh, and you know what else they did?
Thousands
I remember?
Of
points,
yeah.
They bumped the microtransaction fun bucks,
okay,
from the closed beta to the open beta. They bumped it by 10.
Okay.
Which, eh, that's nice.
I hope that this game is taken seriously, and I hope it sells enough for
It had like 3 million players during the beta.
Cool.
So, and cool. Did you check what the population numbers were?
No.
So the population numbers were around 200K at once on PS4, 168K at once on PC, and about just a little under that on Xbox One simultaneously.
Okay.
So that's over 500,000 people on all SKUs playing at the same time. And because this game has 1v1 and 2v2 support, that's fantastic. Dude, this game will last.
Evo,
like
Evo,
Rainbow...
Evo,
like,
just get it. Evo.
Just think of fucking Rainbow Six Siege, where that's... I don't know what player count that is, but that's alive and well. Bunny won't shut the fuck up about it.
Excellent. I'm going to be grabbing the PS4 version, but...
I double dip because I'm an idiot.
No. Like, if it turns out that like more people I know are on PC, I'll grab a PC copy too. I don't mind at all, like, supporting, like... Good ass.
I bought the season pass. I don't care.
Like 1v1.
I want those new characters immediately. The two new characters that they showed off in art, like silhouette kind of art, where they're like, there's six coming, mm-hmm, and you can clearly tell who it is, and it's a Roman centurion, and it is a ninja with Kusarigama, and it appears that the DLC characters are not going to fit into the existing factions. It's literally just going to be fucking deadliest warrior grab bag shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's the entire like story based faction of the yellow weird people,
the evil people. The Chaos Marines.
Yeah. So that's a whole group of characters that like I'm assuming you're gonna get out your hands on at some point too.
At least one or two.
You know. Anyway, that's a lot of For Honor.
I'm so excited.
We're
for
very
it's unlocked
excited
tonight.
For this game. It's really cool, and I feel that like. Yeah, if there's anything that can interrupt my Neo time, it would be something a lot like Neo, but more, and it's 1v1-ing.
Yeah.
You know, and I like, I guess when I want to PvE, I'll jump over to Neo.
Yeah.
And when I want to PvP, I'm going to jump over.
Apparently, there's going to be a story mode in For Honor that is so awful, they're not sending out review codes.
Huh. That's always a good sign.
Oh yeah, don't you just love like, oh, this is single player.
Well,
you can see it at launch with the public because shared experience.
So here's the part that I never understood, and it's I have a strong suspicion this game did not have a single player up until 6 months ago, because every time they were asked about it, they're like, "Well, we're talking about that one, right?"
That's insane, but I mean, I understand the spirit of what you're trying to say.
There's videos of the single player out, and it looks like repurposed multiplayer maps like Titanfall 1. So,
okay.
I don't know. But I never understood, we're going to make a single player to add value, but we're not going to make it good, so we're going to have to hide the fact that it's shit. Well, so what value are you adding? Just a box point? Well, like a bullet point?
I think it really is just a box point. Like, it probably doesn't make any difference day one, but it's like 3 or 4 months down the line when Timmy's mum goes into the game shop and it's like, oh, this game has a single player for when I have to turn the internet off because he's lost his internet time.
Well, too bad, because it's online only even in that single player.
Yeah, but Timmy's mum's not going to know that.
Yeah, Timmy's mum would not know that.
when she's shopping at Game, is that what this
is? Yeah, that's ours. It's just Game in all capital
all right.
letters.
Laura, you're out in the UK, right? Laura?
Yeah, I'm in the UK.
You're in the UK, right?
Yeah.
Okay, is Game on fire, bankrupt all the time, or
dead?
What's up with that?
Pretty much. Game was fine, and then they burnt down to the ground, and then they were, like, revived with a phoenix down. And they, like, absorbed the other competitor they had, and all of the competitor became Game as well. And then they very almost burnt to the ground again, and had to close half of the stores that they'd assimilated into themselves. And now they just kind of exist perpetually on the edge, like they always seem like their stores might just fall off a cliff tomorrow.
Because I remember when they filed for bankruptcy or whatever the fuck that was, part of that was, like, we're no longer ordering down payments on pre-orders.
Oh, except they do again now. Like, that lasted for, like, 6 weeks, and then they were like, we'll start taking your money again, sure. Half the time, like, they'll... Like, I think when they filed for bankruptcy, there were multiple games that they took pre-orders for and then never sent out. And,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they...
Because they're like, well, we're bankrupt. We don't have to do that now.
Yeah, and then they reinstated as a company, and they're like, yeah, we're not giving you your money back. They are a company that... I'm fine to go in and purchase something from them if I want to pick up a boxed copy and it's on the shelf already. Right. I would never trust them with my money in advance of something being on the shelf ready to hand to me.
It sounds almost exactly like we had Microplays dying out over here.
Yep.
And when Electronic Boutique was, like, before EB Games and before GameStop, like, well, GameStop existed in the States, but they bought them out or whatever. But we had the proper Electronics Boutique. And God damn it,
Wooly.
These stupid things. I don't want Office. I don't want Office on this device, Microsoft. Stop telling me to get Office on this device.
Don't you want Office, though?
I really don't want Office on this device.
Have you thought about if you would like Office on this device?
I've thought about it, and I don't want it.
I thought about it, and then I decided that if I wanted to use Office, I'd use OpenOffice. Because it's fucking free.
And they and they legally got the rights because you stole their shit.
Yeah.
Fucking,
Back to what you were saying about Electronics Boutique.
Anyway, Microplay was dying out and it sounded shitty, and, like, so Game is probably a similar situation. And Game's also a funny name.
Yeah, the thing that's most annoying is when they got bought back from bankruptcy the first time, they bought up all of the stores of GameStation, which used to be the slightly nicer, everyone kind of preferred it to Game. And they turned all of them into Games and then closed most of them down.
Awesome.
So it's like, oh, the nice high street competitor is also gone. I guess we only have Game now. Yay.
I'm excited for 30 days from now when the Switch comes out, where I have 3 Switches pre-ordered at retail locations at EB Games. And I better get all 3 of those Switches or else I'm going to have to stab a bitch.
Well, I mean, like... One of those is mine, right?
No, you get the Amazon one.
Oh, okay.
The other two are for people that are going to be with me when I go pick them up. What was I going to say? Well, actually, I have a friend at one of the EB games, so he'll just, like, give me somebody else's if need be.
Wow.
Wow.
You're just straight up going right to scumbag.
Yeah. What?
No.
You're going
no,
right to the scumbag.
Yeah, someone's now not getting their birthday
the
present because of you.
Listen.
The type of shit that we call
listen,
out constantly.
Listen.
Are you literally saying right now that you're doing it yourself?
Listen. I'm not going straight there.
Because fuck you if that's what you're saying.
It's on the table as a last resort.
You are the biggest hypocrite if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. It's different when it's me because I want it.
Wow. After yelling at people in line for the similar things happening and calling out people and saying snitching is great and fuck those guys and get that guy in trouble. He's helping his friends and hooking them up.
Yeah.
You're literally doing the
same
thing.
Oh, no. Listen. If my friend were to do that, he deserves to get fired. But that's not my problem.
You're going to do it anyway.
Well, Holy
I hope
shit.
He's smart enough to not get caught.
Oh, wow. Sit in your tower.
You say smart enough to not get caught tower. as you start laying the seeds of, oh, there's someone out there who's doing it. You're going to find them.
This... Oh, the consistency.
No, listen. If EB Games steals my... I bought that Switch. If I get there and they didn't give it to me, that means they gave it to somebody else. That means I am owed one no matter how I get it.
Right. And fuck your friend who for doing this, but...
We're not that good friends.
So you're like, basically, the fact that you're doing this for me is completely reprehensible.
Oh, it's terrible.
But I'm getting mines.
Yeah. It's like, I would never choke out a baby for diamonds.
Unbelievable.
But I'll take the diamonds.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Also, it's super weird that's coming out in like 2.5 weeks. Like,
it's
that,
super weird.
That feels way too soon.
Doesn't it? Like
my brain knows it's that far away. It can't really process that it's that far away.
I would just like to clarify one more thing, Wooly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a phrase you used, and it's that you're jumping straight to scumbag.
Yeah.
No. I'm doing it the right way, and scumbag shit is reserved for fail states. It's a last resort.
Oh, but if you're willing to go there, why even wait?
You always have to be willing.
Why? Why not break the glass immediately if it's already on the table?
Because it's better to do it the right way.
If you're hiding Monopoly money in your pants that wasn't on the board when everyone started...
You wait until you start losing to cheat. Wooly, you're not supposed to cheat or do bad things unless things are not going your way. Then you're totally allowed. That's how the real world works, man. If you're having a knife fight and you're sure you're going to win that knife fight with the two guys,
the conviction.
That's great. No, shut up. Then you kill that guy with a knife. But if he starts to gain the upper hand, that's when you pull your gun and shoot him.
The conviction with which you like... wrathfully came down on people doing the exact same thing.
No, it's not the exact
same
thing.
But you weren't in the benefiting scenario.
See, now you're starting the chain now, because all that you know is someone's not going to get their Switch because of you, and then they're going to steal someone else's Switch. You are the start of the chain, Pat. You are where it all begins.
So the other version of you that's standing and watching you get that one from the friend employee... is rightfully allowed to say, fuck those people, I hope they get hit by a bus on the way home, to you.
Absolutely. And I hope they get their desire.
But you're still going to do it.
Yeah? No, listen, it's a really, really simple concept. It's a really, really simple concept, okay? Oh, your headphones fell out. Okay, it's really simple, okay?
Oh,
the guy, because there was a guy on my Twitter who said that he saw this motherfucker from GameStop go in with five of his friends and reserve all the Switches.
You piece of feces.
And then I advised on this guy to snitch, and he snitched hard, and that guy lost his job. And that's a heroic act, right? But the difference here is that GameStop guy wasn't getting those Switches for me.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So that makes it bad.
I like, so like the scum is so pure. You have to admire the purity.
And here's the really
it's unbelievable.
And here's the really scary part.
It's like if you're gonna be a hypocrite, be 100%.
No, there's a hypocrisy.
Don't even bother.
There's no hypocrisy here.
Never, it's hypocrisy.
I live my life for me.
And despite the horror,
I want to win.
And no matter how horrible you will decry anyone doing any action,
they shouldn't do that. That's horrible.
But you will do the action.
Not at first.
What's the difference?
There is a difference between jumping straight to a bad option and trying easier options.
You get to pretend you're not scummy for a minute before you turn on the scum
switch. No, Wooly, if we had a big if we had a big fight, right? There, I would always try and discuss my point. Right? And then hopefully we can reach a reasonable agreement. But if that fails, you have to resort to violence.
I would rather you just pull the behelit out.
That's you.
Just
I'm trying to be nice here while also receiving
it.
All of my perfect desires because I am the hero of my own life.
Oh man, this is fucking great. This is good. Yeah, and you know, like,
look out for number one, who is me.
If nothing, it's consistent. If nothing, it's consistent.
It's consistent in its inconsistency. So it all makes perfect sense.
God.
So did you have anything else happen? Were we still on Wooly's week? Did Wooly have anything else happen this week?
So what fucking trash scumbag week did you have?
Me? I already even talked about it, really.
Neo, For Honor,
I saw John Wick. I played the first two levels of Neo, and I played For Honor all weekend.
Sounds good.
We had the exact same week.
Let's get into the news.
All right, I'll be back in 1 second. Oh, okay. These Red Bulls, man.
Okay. I guess we'll take in a little break.
It's all right by me. Gives me a second to have a bit of my drink.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, this has been fun.
Oh my god. I just, like, it's versions of this over the years that you get used to. Fuck it, I guess I'm leaving this in then. versions of this over the years of knowing this guy that you get used to from seeing it, and you, like, you know it's coming every time. Well, you know it's coming every time, but it's just like, you can't believe it when it happens.
It's kind of wonderful in that I've heard this from a distance before, and there's something...
So you remember the rant I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm aware. There is something magically different about being here and being able to respond that makes it all suddenly all the more real. That it's like, this is a real human being. Oh, Pat.
Like, I just, if we can find, like, the exact, hey, how's it going?
That's
if
great.
We can find the exact moment of, like when you're going off on them, and, like, you can almost, like, feel the light radiating from behind him with just how righteous his anger is at these people for being shitty and scummy.
I am just waiting for the inevitable video that happens where someone finds the audio from both and just puts them back to back, and it'll
be
a glorious moment.
It's being made right now,
yeah,
I assume.
It's already
fucking
happening.
Yoshikage Pat over here.
I just want to live a quiet life. I empathize with Kira far too much.
He's a really good villain. Let's get into the news then. I guess we're going to start out with
one last thing. One final thing.
Please.
This is why snitching is so important.
Hmm.
This is why you need to snitch on everyone, especially me.
To stop you.
I feel no anger towards people who would snitch on me. People snitch on me all the time. Every time I eat candy, somebody's telling my girlfriend that I ate candy. And that keeps me honest.
Yeah.
No, I hear that. I get it. It's like, I was listening to a stand-up the other day where Bill Burr was going off about how, like, if you are... like aggressively driving in traffic and you like fucking you swerve over the grass to get past him, it's like, you know what, I wanted to do it too, you got me. I can't even get mad at that. You know, if you're like taking your time and going, I don't know which way to go, that's the annoying shit you get mad at. But if you do a crazy ass drift danger cutting move,
I think,
fuck it, you deserve the spot. You wanted it, you took it.
I think you could be critical of the act while still being like respectful of the motivations. It's like, yeah, you're not doing the right thing, but I respect the hustle.
And exactly. What's important is that these scumbag things are so that I can get friends of mine switches because I'm such a good guy.
Exactly. Don't, you're obviously doing the wrong thing for the right reasons, and everything is good.
Pat, like, I would 180... immediately, if you told me that right upon receiving it from the friend, you would snitch him out right on the spot. If you took the thing and then went, thanks, pal, and then walked up to his manager and told him what happened and went home, I would completely 180 on the spot.
I'm thinking about it now, 'cause that seems awesome. That seems super awesome.
Fucking get this guy.
That's the best.
Oh, god damn. All right. So I was going to start out with the new announced title from Konami, which is...
Oh, shut up.
What? You don't want to hear about Bomber Girl?
So here's the biggest bummer about this. Bomber Girl, great idea.
Mm.
That's awesome. Like Ms. Pac-Man.
Sure.
Yeah.
What they're doing, though...
So basically, Bomberman's getting updated into... or at least for one game, they're trying this out. Which, I know the direct comparison immediately becomes Bomberman Act Zero.
This is a million miles in the other direction from Act Zero.
Now, here's the thing, right? Is... when it comes to a franchise like this that's been, like, pretty... I'm not going to say stagnant, but it hasn't really changed over the years.
It's been set in its ways.
And it hasn't really been selling particularly, like, well over the last couple releases. Why not switch it up? I see no problem with going a completely different direction like this. And even if it's with, like, Super Moe Blob Girls and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, sure, man. They're trying something new.
I would rather this than Super Bomberman R, I suppose. This is at least something new and interesting.
So, well, that's what I was going to say was that, like, you know, Liam rightfully, I think, tweeted out. He's like, look, like, if you are one of the folks that is, like, not happy about this news and are complaining about it, then I hope you support Bomberman R when it comes out to show them that that's the Bomberman you want.
But where is Bomberman R?
Bomberman R is the new one that's about to get released in about a month or two.
Does that have the fucking awful microtransactions in it?
I don't think so. I think
it's a $50 game and it's just Super Bomberman redone with new graphics.
Yeah,
for $50.
$50?
Yeah, it's $50.
No.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
See, this is the problem with it. Is it's
that's,
that
those
be...
are both awful choices.
Yeah.
And the idea being that, like, you know, because Bomberman has not been, like, as the traditional Bomberman games have not been selling particularly well, like,
the solution to, hey, you don't want this food isn't, we'll eat the old food with piss on it.
At the same time, there were the releases from before Bomberman R, which weren't full $50.
But
releases.
Here's the other thing, Wooly. I also have no problem with Bomberman never coming back ever again, because Bomberman existed and it's fine, and I can just go back and play those old
yeah,
ones.
And in particular, like, a part of this, like, there's a required qualifier that you care about Bomberman to.
I love Bomberman.
To enter this,
but
you know,
there doesn't need to be new Bomberman.
Mm.
It's funny because, like, I feel like if, even though Act Zero was as dumb as it was,
boy, was it.
If it just kind of still had the camera in the right place,
it would have been fine.
And played like a normal multiplayer game, it would have been fine.
It would have been stupid.
The fact that they locked it into that weird, like, single player only or multiplayer, no local multiplayer, excuse me, was probably what killed it more than the actual reimagining.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, no, I'm like, fuck it. It's an, like, this is one of those things where Bomberman's an old-ass franchise in the same way that if you saw a drastic change to Sonic or Mario, you'd be like, yeah, sure. That should let's see what's, like, experimental thing you're going to try out here.
I disagree. Mm. I think Sonic's had enough drastic changes.
Well, what I'm getting at is when it's something that has been the same for as long as you can remember.
Well, actually, the problem with Sonic is that it hasn't been the same since, like, 95.
Perhaps Sonic wasn't the best analogy. Perhaps a more stable franchise, you know, with a mascot that tends to be the same over the course of 30 years. You know, it's like when something like this comes out, it's like, yeah, it'll be a one-off or it won't.
Like Castlevania, I guess.
You know, we'll see what happens, but they're trying something because they got to figure out how to make some money off of this.
No,
thing.
Don't. Stop. Just stop.
Just stop?
Yeah.
Just quit on the IP?
Sure.
Just
re-release virtual console versions of the old game.
Hudson was purchased for money that they need to recoup or intend to use their
IPs. I don't give a fuck about their fucking business.
You can recoup that money by just re-releasing Bomberman on every system that comes out, and people who recognize the name will buy it again, and you'll make your money.
And I don't think they're going to stop making Bomberman, but in general...
I hope they do.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's
I'm
fun.
Now actively petitioning that people kill Bomberman.
Awesome. Well, that's what happens every time he plays. That's the whole point of the game, actually. So, it's happening. Great. So, yeah.
Is there a place for Bomberman in today's world?
There is a place for him. It's that boss that's basically Bomberman in Binding of Isaac.
That's exactly Bomberman.
Yeah, what's it? Is it Greed? No, it's who? No, who is it that's
Pride?
Basically Bomberman? It might be Pride, the one that's basically right. Bomberman. That's Bomberman's place in society now.
I honestly, the formula, no matter what it looks like or what it cosmetically is, like the four players or even eight players. Walking around this giant thing, blowing each other up using that basic gameplay mechanic is always going to be fun, man. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I think it'll be fine. This is an arcade release, but the article also mentions, it's got 4v4 co-op. So you can do like...
co-op?
So you're doing like up to 8-player battles as well in the arcade. And I don't know, I'm assuming this is eventually going to get dropped on a console or on Steam or on something. But
hopefully not.
Bomber Girl. You'd rather have nothing?
I very much rather have nothing. And I'm full blown. Not only would I rather have nothing, I also want other people to have nothing.
Okay. Well, that's a story. Let's go to the next one.
No one's here to stop me today. I can't beat Christopher Robin.
All right. So
I can't do it.
The Switch Sparks Phone app.
Can we please? Can someone explain this to me?
Yeah. So they try to. Nintendo tried to explain it to you.
I still don't understand.
Right here with the announcement of like the Splatoon 2 demo and some of the way it's going to work with Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2. I still think there's a huge Splatoon missed opportunity.
Of course.
Splatoon.
My question with that is like, does that pun maybe not work in other languages in a way that would cause problems?
Hitch knee. It'd be knee. Splatoony?
Splatneen.
Yeah. Spleen. Like, that's my only guess. My only guess is that that pun somehow doesn't work in other languages, and they didn't want to confuse it that way, but it will always be Splatoon.
It was good enough for drive-thrur and...
For threer.
For threer.
For threer's the worst.
And thrurf. Thrurf.
What is that one?
A thief.
A thief. Oh.
Before it was just thief. It was the fourth. Fourth. Or thiaf.
That's terrible.
Anyway.
That's terrible. Stop doing this.
Yeah. The Switch phone app is still pretty confusing, and we don't know a lot about it, but we do know that part of the way it's going to work, and from their description, is that the app will, when you have your friends list up and you're chatting with people, once you go into game, it will... basically, it sounds like they're not going to have voice chat except for with friends through the app.
All right. Mm-hmm. But where does the voice come out of? Does it come out of your phone or the Switch? Because if it comes out of the phone, there will be the most vicious feedback ever. The Wii U had that same problem.
Yeah, we still don't know.
And Discord on the phone has the same problem.
And we still don't know if you're going to put your headset on and still hear the game audio at the same time.
Yeah.
Or... a pass-through, or, like, we don't know.
Because the Switch is the best obvious place for Monster Hunter. It makes me really excited, because you can take it on the go, and you can play it online at home. But this is ruinous. This could, like, fuck that up to a degree where I want it somewhere else.
I'm wondering if it's just as simple as a pass-through
for the audio. I hope it's literally just... there's an existing thing in-game for random matchmaking or whatever, but when you want to do it with your friends or whatever, you use your smartphone with the complicated app and send messages and shit. That's still trash, and there's no reason that the Switch shouldn't be able to do it, but at least it's better than what this appears.
Yeah.
Because if your friends' voices come out of your phone, that multiplayer is trash.
Well, that's...
That is garbage.
Initially, when I heard about the smartphone app, what I was picturing was like, oh, I put on my Bluetooth headset connected to my phone or whatever, and I'll get my... You know, I'll talk into the headset, and I'll hear in the headset. And then I remembered, oh, shit, where does the game audio come from? Like, the only acceptable use of that I can think of, and I don't think Nintendo would do this, is... I talk into my phone, and I hear my friends through the Switch. And I can wear my headphones with the Switch, I talk into the phone. It's a weird setup, I don't know why it exists.
Backwards and pointless, why would you do that?
But it would not cause problems. I see Nintendo not causing problems.
No, I can't see a version of this without like a full headset separate, where you're talking into the phone receiver. Like, that just sounds ridiculous to me. What is another thing, though, about the app that they did announce is the ability to schedule multiplayer.
That's cool.
And I think that's dope. Like, you can actually, like, on your friends list go, all right, look, now this time, this place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in theory, you'd get a reminder that, like, hey, you're supposed to go play.
Yeah. But
I think that's something we could have used earlier on.
All of that stuff about it, I love. The fact that you can get push notifications on your phone to say, like, oh, your friend has just jumped into this game. Do you want to jump in and play with them? And
that's a great idea.
That stuff is great. I just wish there was the ability to talk into my Switch and to hear my people through the Switch and to not have to use the phone to talk.
There's no reason why that should not be the case.
I think the fact that we haven't heard about the exact details of how that's going to work yet is probably because we're probably not going to like it, or they're still working on it.
Or the version,
which sounds ridiculous,
or the version that keeps getting back out to us is like confusingly worded and like not the case.
Like,
because it's a very simple issue in that there's your friends and there's game audio in two separate sources.
So here's an example. When the FF14 expansion was coming out, the last one, they put out a list of every single ability in the game that was going to be added, right? And what it was going to do. And they put that out like a month beforehand. No one could understand what about half of them did. And some of them only people figured out the day the game came out and they got to read the in-game text because the translation for those abilities was terrible. And they were properly translated, but by people who clearly didn't know what the fucking abilities actually did or internally, right?
Right.
This feels like nobody who actually gets it is explaining to us. This feels like someone who does understand how it's going to work is half-heartedly explaining to some guy who then goes to a translator and then we get it. These are so baffling and so unclear.
It might be I hope it's as simple as... sorry. I hope it's as simple as, like, you know what? Actually, we're overthinking it, and you plug your headphones in, and there is a mic on the Switch, and you still just talk to it, and you do the same thing you would
have done.
But
there's also those functions in the smartphone app, if you desire.
Not even that. It just uses your phone as, like... the method to connect to your friends list and sort all that information.
Sure.
But the phone just sits on your side and does nothing you're playing.
It would be nice if the phone was just a second screen for organization of matchmaking.
I'm hoping
Nintendo have done Nintendo-y things one too many times. It's just... if there's any company I could see making it weird and confusing to talk to people, it's Nintendo.
Yeah. And here's a thing where it's like after the Wii and after the Wii U and such and 3DS, and we, you know, they're doing the thing that, like, we said was probably the best place for them to go, which is bring your handheld and console markets together. And, like, they need an honest new shot at the video game industry. And I think that, like, this is one way where, like, if you have these dumb little things that you can fix two or three iterations down, like, if you just iron that out now... You'll be fine.
Like,
You'll be so fine. Make these dumb little mistakes.
Like, what I don't get is when they acquired DNA, why did they not just be like, right, okay, start making the app that's going to be the matchmaking app now, put it out there in the wild, be like, hey, you can add your friends and talk to them about what you're doing on your network and add your friends. So when the Switch comes out, everyone already knows what the app does and what it can do, and you just connect your Switch and we all understand it.
I think Liam invented this phrase, but I've been using it a lot because it's dead on, and he's 100% right. With Nintendo, it's always something when it should be nothing.
Yeah. Don't give us anything to complain about if it's just the console and you put the game in and then we see how the buttons work and then you got the features. And that.
So much of this thing looks so cool and so smart.
Mm.
And even though they're going through an outside company to help with their online infrastructure, it is still baffling, confusing, and probably unintuitive and shitty.
Yeah. Well, what worries me is their lack of consistency, because there's things like, you know how Miitomo and Mario Run, you could add your friends on those games by linking your Twitter or your Facebook or your Gmail or whatever and adding friends from those? You can't do that in Fire Emblem Heroes. You have to go back to using friend codes. And you can't share your friends list from your Nintendo account from those last two Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Like, the lack of consistency is what's really worrying me about this phone app.
Listen, it's going to have a unified account system, except for this and this and this
Just last night, actually, because I was checking it out. Like, yeah, you link your friend code, your Nintendo account to Mario Run.
Yeah.
But a Fire Emblem, does it add, because I haven't actually, like, downloaded it. It does not let you link your Nintendo account.
It lets you link your Nintendo account, but it does not add friends from there. You are given a friend code for that game that you have to share with people to add them in that game.
I will fully eat my crow then when I remember saying very happily that friend codes are dead.
I remember
telling you they're going to find a way.
Yeah,
and I like, they're done. They're over with. It's a thing of the past.
Now, I want to point out, you were not wrong to say that, and I was crazy to say that. But with Nintendo, there's always more.
Here's the thing with the Nintendo account system for Fire Emblem Heroes. All it will do is it will save your user data. So if you delete the app and re-download the app and reconnect to the same account, you'll get your play data back. But
that's
it
nice.
Just
that's
yeah, that's all right. But it just ignores the friend list that you built up on their last two games and makes you use a new system. And I don't know why. And I'm scared for this smartphone app.
It just doesn't make sense. It's been figured out. And if the problem... And admittedly, we're speculating over a thing that we don't have the details on.
Right? Sure.
So this can all be completely mitigated when it comes out.
And it's like, oh, it's actually normal.
Right. Gotta put that out there. But it is just always so strange because a lot of these problems are not new problems that, like, no one has ever faced before.
Mm-hmm.
There have been tons of versions of this throughout
the past. Four, five, six consoles now.
A million lessons to learn from other companies. And if you look and you go, okay, we can't afford an Xbox Live or, like, PlayStation PSN infrastructure, there are still other examples to look at and see what you can actually do. It just seems strange that you would go with this new weird one.
Here's a problem that won't be solved, period. Hey, Wooly, you like Splatoon.
Sure.
I imagine you're going to play a bunch of the second Splatoon.
I hope so.
Right? So you're going to be sitting there, you're going to be playing Splatoon, and the Switch is going to be plugged in, right, on the dock, playing with your controller. Oh, man. Oh, hey, Billy's hopping on. I'll play with Billy. Oh, my phone's dead.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For
so, like, Switch being plugged, handheld console being plugged in at home, power concerns gone. But now we have to worry about our phone dying. Well, the phone that we used all day and then came home when it was at 22% battery and we want to play. Like,
seems like a lot of hoops that they're jumping through to specifically let you play, like, online on the go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. There's another problem with that. And there's no plan for the Switch to have an internet browser at all. Which is a problem because airport Wi-Fi hotspots require a landing page, and so do hotels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, do they maybe have an internet browser that's the only time that it works? My other thinking of why they maybe don't have an internet browser always accessible is for their last few consoles, the way that piracy has happened is through the web browser. And I think they're just hoping, like, if we don't give you an easily accessible web browser, you can't go to that page that lets you sideload in all the content.
I'm sure someone will find a way.
Yeah, they'll just go to the hotel, log into the hotel Wi-Fi, get the web browser that exists for that purpose, and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Tethering, like, well, anyway, whatever.
Thanks, Nintendo.
We'll figure that out. But,
Zelda looks good.
It does, and, you know, I mean, look, I guess, I don't know, at the end of the day, the only thing that makes me feel a little bit better here is that, like, I've never played a ton of online Nintendo anyway, you know, like,
well,
Smash Online I didn't really bother with that much. Most of the time was playing local, so
the bummer
I don't
here,
feel it's
the
biggest
the,
loss.
The only reason why I care is because, assumedly, Monster Hunter will be on the system.
Yeah.
And that game, it was a damn shame that there was no way to talk to people on the 3DS version. And the Wii U version had the problem of the Wii U gamepad was the speaker and the mic.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it would just echo and reverb into itself into shit.
Yeah.
And the idea that it's like, oh, finally got an HD Monster Hunter, but we're going to go back to this problem? Really? In fucking 2017-18, we're still going to have to use Discord or Skype to play Monster Hunter? Like, fuck. That's terrible.
Yeah, I think prior to Splatoon existing, like, I could have been like, whatever, I just won't even bother with the online, really. And I think that's the only game they have that it matters that much to me. Anyway,
Nintendo stupid news at 11.
Well, look, more like they're just not being as clear as they should be.
Nintendo's incompetent.
Well,
they
really can't afford to be being that unclear at this point because it's 2.5 weeks away. Like, you would hope 2.5 weeks out from launch, they could tell you
it's more than that. It's 30 days. It's 4 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
It's what? We're halfway into February.
We're halfway
and
through
it's,
February.
It's 3 days into March.
Why do I think it's 30 days? Why do
no,
I keep saying that?
No, it's literally like, what day are we on today? Monday. Dude. It's 2 weeks and 4 days.
It's half a month.
It's 18 days.
I forgot what day it was.
Yeah,
by a lot.
That always
yeah,
happens.
It's like 18 days away and we still don't understand basic stuff about that system and whether it's going to make weird Nintendo mistakes. But we'll
see. I bet we won't know until a few hours after it comes out.
Quite possibly.
But yes, I agree, Pat. It's the current year, and they still haven't figured it out.
I try.
There's a piece of interesting news.
Oh, this is
here.
Great. This is awesome.
I think it is.
It is. It is. It is good news.
So here's what's cool, right? Valve is ditching Steam Greenlight to introduce Steam Direct, and the TLDR of this is because Steam Greenlight led to a lot of bullshit. That
infinite. How does Mike say it? Endless trash.
And a lot of good games, like, not having the ability to drum up enough.
Shovel Knight had to get fucking voted on a green light. That's fucking
when
stupid.
When it doesn't seem like that kind of people.
Pillars! Those people Pillars of Eternity had to get voted on green light.
They're replacing it with Steam Direct, which is you go straight up and you your game pops up immediately, but you pay
A fee.
And the fee is much higher.
The fee is $5,000.
Well, they're deciding.
Well, okay.
That's the thing that's floating around. Yeah.
Instead of $100, they're going to make it somewhere between $200,000 and $5,000. Mm-hmm. The idea being that you can stop all the shovelware and troll games from showing up by making it
cost inefficient,
so that they wouldn't, like, if you were too cheap to spend money on your game by asset flipping, maybe you're too cheap to actually.
Yeah. So the idea is that people would make their garbage asset flips for like $30 or whatever, or you'd have these mobile developers that some guy they paid $12 to shit out a Steam emulator or whatever.
In theory,
and they'd throw those all up there, and then they would go, "We'll make back $5 a game. That's a worthwhile investment." But if the cost is $1,000 per submission, those games disappear because the cost becomes prohibitive.
Also, Jim Sterling gets put out of a job.
There's always trash.
Well, that's all he'll do is he'll go look at the shit that's on itch.io instead.
He'll go look at fucking, what's it called, Desura? Or whatever the fuck that thing
is. I remember the days of Desura review code.
I keep having to fucking use Desura. Every year I have to use Desura because Matt always finds some fucking horror game that is only on Desura.
I keep having to use it for weird dating sims that only ever turned up on Desura. But
I guess now it's like you find the trash and you get to laugh at it for having them spend that much money.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe they paid X dollars to get this trash up here.
So it's good on paper because it does, like, this should in theory stop the flood of, like, low-end shovelware getting up there.
I don't know.
What it does, like, the more that you disincentivize that shovelware getting on there, it does kind of suck that it takes away the ability for people making really small, cheap games to even think about Steam, which kind of sucks. Like, I've done little bits of game development stuff before where I've just put games up for, like, here's a game for, like, a dollar that is, like, visual novel that takes, like, 10 minutes to get through or whatever. And, like, at $100, I might have been like, oh yeah, maybe I'll one day submit one of these on Steam and see what happens, but at $5,000, it's like, well, my little tiny game is staying on itch.io forever, and you know, that's the cost you're paying by disincentivizing shovelware.
The problem with that, though, is that if you have that tiny game, unless you got, like, good marketing or groundswell or social media presence on that, right, like, that's going to get buried in the trash in maybe 10 seconds because of how fast that release window moves.
And here is where I'm wondering if this is potentially bad, is that, like, is there going to be that amazing, like, game that just doesn't have a platform on Steam anymore because the guy can't afford it?
Yeah.
Or is this going to just make it so that the green light process still has to happen, but it happens before they even get to Steam?
No, here's
right? Do you have to basically have, like, the person who makes this amazing small indie game go, all right, now I need to make the money to even send it.
Well, here's what happens. Here's what happens. I have a solution. You ready? Indie game developer makes small indie game. $2,000 is too much to pay out of pocket. You're going to see a flood of say $2,000 is the amount they go for.
$2,000 Kickstarter.
$2,000 Kickstarter.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, that seems like the most obvious.
That's what, like, I was getting at. I was basically saying, like,
you'll see a flood of that.
You do your same sort of, like, song and dance to get the word out there. You do your, you know,
but you do it yourself, and not the Greenlight.
But it's not for part of Greenlight, exactly. Yeah. You know, maybe.
And garbage mobile ports are not going to be able to get that.
No, but I think, like, the people who are not willing to pay that $2,000 or whatever to get their game up, because it's probably going to be, I don't think my game's going to make back $2,000, which probably means it wouldn't make $2,000 on Kickstarter, which probably means you don't bother with that hullabaloo. I don't know.
Which is, like, therefore, if it's not going to make back 2K, doesn't mean that it's not worth existing, you know?
And that's where it gets weird, because I think people should make good games, but at the same time, because of the realities of the economic systems that we live in, it's like I feel torn telling somebody if you're going to make something that will literally not benefit you in any way other than its existence, maybe you shouldn't make it. Maybe you should make something that people would want. That's tough, right?
I wouldn't say that, but I would say that.
No, but I feel torn. It's the same thing. You like people go, I could be a doctor, but I really want to be an artist. It's like, whoa. Hey, think about that for a second.
Again, I'm not going to go start calling people's dreams unclear.
But call their dreams unclear. You just call their dreams roads to misery.
What I will say is that maybe it just means that the thing that doesn't sell 2,000 copies is destined for good old games. Galaxy.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
good old games has done a much better job with their curation.
Maybe obviously. It's just like it just won't be on Steam. Yeah. And that will be the end of it.
Either that or a Humble Bundle. You just see some publishers that are like, oh, this is a good thing that isn't going to sell X amount. Like, hey, we'll publish it for you because then you don't have to go through this system because we can just publish
stuff.
Then
we own your IP.
Oh, no.
EA owns Undertale.
Look, I felt. Ooh, boy. You could have said Activision and made it worse. But
I went for the realistic.
I just don't think that... I don't know. I don't think that you can ever really staunch the flow. You know? I feel...
Garbage gonna garbage.
Shovel gonna shovel. You know? Like, you're...
Well, think of how many pieces of shit hit the Wii in its life cycle. And the PS1.
And
the PS2.
Yeah, and you know, that's the difference between, like quality curation versus just basic compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always in favor of quality curation. And mm-hmm. I know it's a more expensive process. I know it's like it also can technically kneecap you if you're trying to build a large library. And if the PlayStation 1 had that, then there are a lot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. How many games would we have never have gotten as a result of it? But I don't know. I feel like. It's for the best. I prefer that system.
I feel like it's ultimately what had to happen for Steam to regain, you know, the status it had before. It's a shame of the negatives it's going to have, but, you know, Steam always was going to have to do this. They had to get rid of the shovelware.
From a consumer experience point, the new release list has become without value. The new release list is trash.
Yeah.
It can't
be used.
Which is why they've had to redo and rejigger their the suggestions system because it has to basically go on. It's like, okay, we have a new release list of complete nothing.
There are more good real games that come out than you can keep track of in a day, and that's before the trash hits it.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, so we need to have these systems basically work on getting you the real releases as opposed to just the dreck.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, I think the question is now is just to see where in that 200 to 5,000 does it lie? Like, what does Valve think the line is of shovelware won't bother, but small stuff will still get
on there?
Well,
here's what you do, right? Here's what you do. You make it $200, and then you wait a week, and you see how much trash is still hitting the store. Is it too much? Then you make it $500. Then you see how much trash is still hitting the store,
slowly raise
and
it
you
up.
just go until
it's
the
a slider.
You just go until the trash stops.
But then everything stops.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No more video games on Steam.
And then Steam was finished. It was done.
The irony, of course, is that the old terrible system where you had to go through an existing publisher worked better. Like, it sucked for everyone involved on the development side. But for us, it was much better.
It made it much easier to see what of value was coming out.
Because the publishers were doing the green lighting.
Yeah.
They were doing I don't care. And Ubisoft and Majesco, you know, some of those, would help put some garbage out there.
Sure.
But,
but right now, for example, when you see, like, Devolver's name on something, you
probably
go,
pretty good.
Hey, those guys curated that.
Yeah.
They picked it because they knew. And that's something that I feel is worth the fact that we will miss out on a couple things, you know, in the end. And I just wish that most platforms would have that.
Now, I will say a message because someone...
Because now we're getting fucking Life of Black Tiger.
There's at least one person out there whose game will be murdered by this change.
Yeah.
And I will say to you that your game died so that my temporary inconvenience could go away, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But are you really
your life,
sorry?
No, okay. I don't actually care. But okay. It's important that you pretend.
On the converse, yeah. there will be
a real sociopath this episode.
We all know as well, there's going to be that first game after Steam Direct happens where we still see the really shit, cheaply made game make it through, and we all stop and ask, how on earth did you make it onto Steam? Why are you here?
Now, here's the thing. That's where you get to feel good about that game instead of bad. Because before, you could look at that and go, that's a cheaply made asset flip just to throw garbage out there, right? But now, you can look at that and go, that's somebody's vision. That piece of shit, that's somebody's heart and soul went into that piece of shit.
Like whatever gets thrown out that's of quality should just automatically get uploaded to Unseen 64. Just straight away, you know. Anyway, we had some new announcements from Capcom.
Yay!
Ko-Lin is the new Street Fighter V DLC character, and
you mean Kula?
You mean Colleen?
Colleen, get out of here, yeah. Colleen, stupid announcer.
So it's interesting because, like, she's obviously, if you've played through the story mode and if you are familiar with Third Strike, she's the gal that's hanging out next to Gil, and she, like, holds the clipboard and walks away in his intro.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always looked at her, I'm like, she's a cool character. I never thought she'd be a fighter or whatever, but sure, they're grabbing who they can. She's got ice powers.
Yep.
And
she's got half of Gil's power set.
I don't remember that ever coming up in the story that she had ice powers.
Well, at all. It just came up just now.
Like, is the implication here that, A, she's got the same, like, abilities or the same, what was it, the treasures of Egypt that that activated from the Illuminati or whatever? Like, what's the deal with that, you know?
Okay, so let's back it up. Okay, so Urien has steel and lightning. And Gil has wind. Gil has
fire and ice.
Fire and ice.
It's supposed to be like the elements and like
the five Chinese elements, though.
Yeah.
And there's nobody who has wind, which is interesting. But so Ko-Lin. She has ice, and it's like, does that mean that there are characters out there that have fire, steel, and lightning?
No, I don't know. I'm suspecting that.
Does Rashid gain his powers from the fucking Egyptian treasure?
Oh, shit. Is that the tech he
got? Is he the wind guy?
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be nutty. So, like, the lore implications based on Third Strike are kind of fun to think about. But beyond that, gameplay-wise, she looks very DiCaprio-ish.
Yep.
She's got double jumps. She's got a weird freezing system that is pretty interesting in the way they describe it, where, yeah, if she freezes you, your stun gauge now becomes the thing that determines what... Or rather, if your stun is too high, if she gets you into a stun state, you become frozen.
Okay.
Mm. And she's also got a counter, and she's got, like, a sort of a variable V-skill and stuff. So it looks
she
like a
fun
character.
She has a very predictable counter. Like... seeing people jump in on her and her like basically doing predictabo into throws, like that looks real good.
Yeah, that looks
real good.
Geese style, exactly. I think it looks dope, man. I like the very like.
There's only one thing I don't like about her. She's not a completely new character. I was disappointed that I knew who this was.
Well,
I wanted it to be somebody completely new.
While I get that, like, I would never have asked for her, and I'm like, oh, okay, you seem like you've got an interesting back-and-forth flow to combat, and, you know, I wasn't expecting you. That's good enough for me.
The mix-ups that you see with her throwing that ice ball into the sky cross people up is really goofy.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about gameplay-wise. When you see a slow fireball, that means you can, like, do mix-ups on, like, how you're going to get in, and because they've got to worry about that shit.
It has
like,
this goofy
yoga
upwards arc.
Yoga catastrophe-style shit happening. Again, I love that. That creates shenanigans. But we don't want like, obviously full on SF4 Ibuki style shenanigans. Mm. But it's fun to see that's there. But I know what you mean when it comes to like new characters. I don't mind because it's still new. You recognize the person.
This is not an existing Street Fighter character.
Yeah, there's always a hype fun thing to like a complete stranger showing up, but. I don't know. I would really be
as long as it's not Rufus, man.
I'd be disappointed if we didn't see Ed for example.
Oh, man!
Show up as one of the potentials.
Oh, I would way rather have Ed than Colleen.
Colon.
I'm going to call her Colon.
Good.
Colon.
And I feel like Ed's pretty much set.
Oh, yeah.
Like his model looked like it was ready to go a little bit.
He's got a cool design. He's just a little blonde kid in a hoodie with a hand thing. That actually works really well.
By Rog, and he's got fucking power. Anyway.
And if he dies, he has like a sarcastic, like, my fight money.
Yeah. They improved her model a little bit, too, from the story.
I figured.
They changed the face up a little bit. So, yeah, they're doing it. Street Fighter V is still here.
I like her hat.
There's one of her.
I was just gonna say she's got a cool hat. I like fluffy hats. Yeah, I added a lot to the conversation there.
There's one of her costumes that makes her look like almost exactly like Cammy's tactical outfit as well. Where
I see it. Yeah,
her battle costume, like, it's different colors and she has a different face, but it's like her and Cammy are gonna look like they're from the same fucking, like, it's like a different colored version almost of it.
Yeah, I see it.
Dangerously similar. Strange. But anyway. Speaking of strange things.
Oh.
I fucking don't even know how to parse this
one. I told you this and you went, shut up.
I'm torn between, like, usually video game adaptations are terrible, but also Netflix are usually really spot on with their adaptations. I don't know how to feel about this.
I thought Zelda would be the first one after hearing all the rumors. But it seems like Castlevania has beaten everyone to the punch. We're getting a Netflix Castlevania series.
Am I right that this is an animated series?
We have no idea.
I must have just seen that out of nowhere. I thought I saw somewhere say it was animated.
The article says that Adventure Time's production company, Frederator Networks, is also involved, suggesting that the series may be animated.
Okay, that's where that came from.
If this is animated, this completely changes my expectations.
Me too. Because I kind of, in my brain, was thinking about this as a live-action thing.
Which would be dumb, because Castlevania is fucking stupid.
It would work way, way better as an animation.
Absolutely.
I think so. Well, first off, like,
as we all know from Simon Belmont and Captain N,
the fact that, like, with this announcement, they dropped two names, and one of the names was Adi Shankar, who was the guy that was behind the Power Slash Rangers gritty video that popped up the other day.
Yeah.
He's producing it.
He also worked on Dread.
And Machine Gun Preacher and The Gray. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Dread's fine. You know, that's cool. But this is a production role. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter as much.
Well, it helps.
The name that matters here is Warren Ellis.
That's a good name to see attached. Yeah.
What?
Oh.
Warren Ellis of Transmetropolitan, of The Authority, motherfucker wrote Dead Space 1. You know, like, I'm really surprised to hear Ellis attached to this, but that is kind of enough for me to go, all right, let's see what you're doing.
I was on board. I was on board when I heard that it was
optimism as opposed to pessimism.
I was on board when I heard it was Netflix, just because so far Netflix haven't done an adaptation of something I like that I haven't enjoyed the adaptation. Ellis Archie was just the icing on the cake, where I was like, oh yeah, this is probably gonna be at the very least interesting and well written. Hopefully, let's cross our fingers.
It also makes me think the tone is going to be way more sarcastic and possibly goofy than outright serious.
Which seems odd when you've also got Adi Shankar on it, because it seems like he would go the route of, like, if he had any say, it would be dark and gritty and grumble grumble.
Right.
They seem like a very odd pair to put together.
Especially considering Dread and Power Slash Rangers, yeah. Shankar says, he mentioned last year, a super violent Castlevania miniseries. It's going to be dark, satirical, and after a decade of propaganda, it will flip the vampire subgenre on its head. So that's what he has to say about it.
You know, okay, my brain just made a tone that would be perfect for this, and it's Metalocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Why call it Castlevania?
No, it is Castlevania, and it's Simon Belmont and Dracula and all that shit, but it's in the tone of Metalocalypse, where everything is just the most vicious, violent, mean shit ever.
To the point of parody.
To the point of parody,
and Belmont's
yes.
just being very sarcastic in response to it's all like, of this. Overly done.
Vampires.
More of this shit going on.
Like that,
and Dracula's like a foppish
like a
bitch.
Like a fox in space almost with it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay,
I'd be on board
maybe.
For that.
Yeah,
it would be.
If the script was tight.
Okay, Wooly, remember in the very. I remember you telling me about Metalocalypse, and it's a really good sign when somebody's trying to sell you on a show, and the thing they start to tell you about is the first thing that happens, and the first thing that it happens is they drop the stage directly on the crowd, and like you were losing it in telling me about that. And imagine just that kind of really gallows humor with just vampires and whips.
If the right script is tight, you were saying?
Yeah, no, just I very much like the sound of that sort of tone. Like I simultaneously I want it to not take itself too seriously, but the thing that keeps ringing alarm bells in my head is like, oh, animated. Like NES era game getting made into an animated show. Oh God, don't be too goofy. Don't be the Super Mario Brothers Super Show goofy, please. Let's get some good balance.
I totally agree, but like there's only so seriously you can take it when you're killing vampires with a whip called the Vampire Killer.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess it's just, you know, we already had, like, Van Helsing as a movie come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've seen what the versions of this taken seriously would
look like.
It. And we've had games where it's, like, fucking any of the Lords of Shadow games are, like, cinematic enough that you could just imagine there not being gameplay there.
Yeah.
And that's not a very good time either.
No.
So... you know, maybe this is the right way to take it. And, like, again, Ellis is not going to write something that's going to take itself too seriously. Whereas you said, like, yeah, Shankar probably would. So maybe the combo works. I trust him. I trust that name. And that's going to, like I said, that's enough for me to stay cautiously optimistic as opposed
to
pessimistic.
I get the feeling that, like, this would not be announced by Netflix if this was not already, like, being shot right
if,
now.
If they hadn't, like, already seen a script and were like, yes, this
like,
is solid, we want
and
this.
A pilot.
It feels like Netflix announces things and then 2 months later you watched the whole thing.
By the way, it's here. Yeah.
I love how Netflix does their shit.
Yeah, I was a big fan of, like, I've yet to hate one of their adaptations, their Series of Unfortunate Events series they recently did. I was a big fan, so I'm on board with trusting Netflix on this one.
God, I remember just, like, years ago in the early aughts, like, it's like, whoever got stuck in video game testing on the PlayStation 2 Netflix disc QA day... had the worst day ever where you just had to go through. And I'm like, who's using this service? Who is this for?
Everyone.
You know? And like, who's actually having discs sent to their house and DVDs sent back?
Everyone.
And well, at the time, no one. But
Everyone.
Then the switch to digital is what the world needed exactly at that time. You know, on demand, right?
You know, Blockbuster could have bought Netflix.
But chose not to.
They chose
back
not
then,
to.
When they were just a disc exchange service, they absolutely
that, like,
could've.
2 years, 1 or 2 years into Netflix's thing, there was a deal on the table that Blockbuster would buy Netflix and own them entirely because they were a competitor.
Yeah, but
Blockbuster.
You know the way that deal would have panned out is it wouldn't have been suddenly Blockbuster owns the amazing streaming service that
no,
is Netflix.
It would have been Blockbuster destroys the digital future.
Yeah.
And it creates an alternate timeline.
But also, but that gives me like a warm feeling in my heart because you know there's the one person who was directly responsible for that.
Yeah.
Who now doesn't work for Blockbuster anymore because that company no longer exists.
Yeah, well, except there still are working ones out there, actually.
What?
You know?
Shut up.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah. Like, there's that video that went up of like this guy that sneaks into an abandoned Blockbuster and he's walking around going, oh my God. They're still shelved, stocked, and
with new movies.
And then he's like, oh my God, it was me. I worked here. I'm still working here. This is my job. I'm the employee at Blockbuster. It's me. Hello.
That's great.
Anyway, we have... So basically, it's been a minute, but you know, you got to get some Overwatch news in there.
What is going on with your video?
Well, Bastion is getting updated.
Oh.
And,
oh, no.
You know, it seems like after a long time of just, he has pretty much, he has a one use, and it's when people get really salty, and they just go, fuck it, I'm throwing the game. And everyone's like, no, don't do it. And he's like, I don't care, man. Fuck our comp. I'm grabbing Bastion, and I'm sitting on the payload. And everyone's like, God fucking damn it. Like, they're basically decided to finally give him a buff. And
that's a huge buff.
And what it seems like the gist of what they're going for is they want him to be more durable in general all around while nerfing his
DPS.
Nerfing his focused fire when he's in tank mode, basically. Mm. So when he goes into turret, now, like, yeah, I think you actually no longer have the ability to, like, headshot with it or something along those lines, like, is what I was supposed to understand. But in general, while running around, he has a 35% damage reduction, mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. in recon mode or in sentry mode, so that he can actually, like, withstand more damage in general. I believe someone was telling me last night as well as we were playing that the ability to heal can now also be done while moving around or something along those lines. So it seems like basically he's going to have sustainability.
Oh, I'm gonna play
like
for
a
honor.
Normal character. He's going to have a little bit more sustainability to actually, like, you know, fight back in sentry mode and whatnot. And you're just not going to. He's not going to be like as amazing in the mode that everyone used to abuse. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
So.
I get it. They like, let's make him better, but not for the reasons that everyone is like reliant on him.
Yeah. So he's,
which is what they did with Symmetra as well.
He's
right. Such.
He's no longer what he at one point was, where you just park him down, like don't move him and let him murder everything. It's now like, oh, he can actually run from place to place without just being destroyed along the way. But
a little bit.
But he's gonna hurt. He's gonna hit. He's gonna hit a little less hard when he stops.
And when you combine it with Anna.
That's
then,
where the problems
then
happen.
Then it gets scary. Yes,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Anna is part of the equation now. You have to consider an Anna buff at any point, and like that's where it's like, okay, his damage reduction goes way up.
Mm.
His damage reduction gets hit by 50% to 85% damage reduction.
Yeah.
So what we have is we have videos of like him just kind of like taking the boost and then just tanking alts. You know. So yeah.
No, I got this, guys. I got this.
You know,
but
it's interesting. I understand the change.
But that's like that's using your ult on a stationary character. Like, I don't know.
Well,
Anna's ult is weird. Anna's ult is really weird because it screws up the balance in a lot of ways, where it just turns one character into an unstoppable character. And they keep their alts,
and they get better at whatever it is they do.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see this because I feel like for the longest time, like Bastion wasn't overpowered at first, but there was a period where everyone felt like Bastion was overpowered, and I think because of that, they've held back on this for the longest time. Is they're like, oh, we can't make Bastion better in any way
because in shit pub games,
yeah,
he's just dominant.
Exactly.
Because early on, like no one could figure it out, and it was just like, okay, just go pick Genji, just deflect the bullets out of him, he's dead.
Yeah,
go pick Hog. Go like, there's a lot you can do,
but like,
and there still is limited application. Mm. That works even today, but like it's
Zarya eats him up.
Yeah.
But that's not what they want him to be.
Yeah, I think just the stigma of that has kept them from doing this update for a while. So I'm glad to see they're finally like giving him that bit of a tweak to how he works.
Mm. Of course, anyone that gains more sustainability allows Anna to feed her ult faster,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the big thing is you can take damage on purpose to let her heal you back up and get hers where it needs to be. So it's going to be interesting, but I actually understand the change. And like, it's, to me, it sounds like, you know, assuming things hit the PTR and are not completely like ridiculously busted. I like the idea of the direction they're going for. Maybe they need to dial it back a bit, but like that type of change to the character seems like the one that makes sense. And you know, anytime, like I if this is the way they're going to balance things, it's interesting because you can just see, like, okay, X character is being abused in X way. Let's, like,
nerf that.
Nerf
Let's nerf
X
that playstyle.
And buff Y and Z.
Yeah.
You know? So the character is just...
It's balanced out, but this busted way of playing them is no longer viable.
Yeah.
And I like a character in Overwatch called Pat, and it's me, and it has auto aim, and I just shoot a gun and I kill everyone on the team in one shot.
All right, well, why don't you just buy a trainer and a hack?
Well, I can't do that.
What's stopping you? Do you want to feel like a winner?
I do want to feel like a winner.
Then just do it.
But I'll only be able to feel like a winner for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then you get banned. But whatever, you felt like a winner. You won.
Yeah, you don't. You're not a winner.
You never lost. You're the greatest of all time.
You're not a winner if you get banned.
You were so good that they had to stop you from playing the game.
Come on, shh. That's not how that works.
No, it's fine. As long as you argue that, like, I wasn't using the hack, I was just too good, then you can be the winner forever.
You can only win as long as you're also able to win more later.
So if you could keep cheating.
Yeah.
Mm,
that'd be different.
I see. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Also, but no one else should cheat.
Cheating is reprehensible.
It's terrible.
It's egregious.
Yeah, it's a moral failing of society.
Have you been avoiding that word?
Yeah.
Ever since it came out?
Absolutely.
Ever since Takahata called your shit?
I have not said it once.
You haven't said it once
in the like year plus that's happened.
Takahata 101 called his shit out and said, like, that shit's egregious.
Well, it's always weird because whenever that happens, I always go, what are you talking about? And then someone tells me, Pat, you're saying this all the time. Like during Evil Within, I did not realize that at the time.
Excuse me.
But I was saying excuse me to every single enemy I killed in that entire game. And then Matt pointed it out, and I'm like, oh, I guess I do. And then I did it immediately again, and then I stopped.
Anyway. And then the other bit is that there's a model. It's not in-game yet, but people have extracted a 3D model of the Doomfist case being broken on the payload.
I see.
So there's going to be
Terry Crews is pushing very hard to be Doomfist.
And the world is also pushing Terry Crews to be Doomfist. However, what if Doomfist comes out as just like that little white kid?
I desperately, desperately need Doomfist.
Have him do voice it anyway.
To just literally be Terry Crews. He's wearing a mask, so you don't have the likeness rights, but it's just a huge, super ripped black guy with a mask and one fist. He's basically Rage. I just realized I made Rage again.
Yep.
Just make Rage a character in Overwatch.
Now, here's the fun part. For me, it could be a moe blob that does a Nico Nico knee dance for all I give a shit. A dinner dance on her taunts.
Dinner.
But if there's a giant ass fist and you use it to punch shit and blow it up, I'm all on board. I don't even care who's attached to it. I just care about the fist. I don't care about the person attached to it, who they are or what they sound like. I just want the fist. Isolated, everyone got that?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I think Laura chuckled during the last part of it, but that works.
Excellent. So
he just wants the fist, everyone.
Let's take some emails.
Time for some emails.
So every time I go to do like an email jingle, I get the first two notes in and then go, I'm doing the giant bomb jingle. I need to not do that. That's not ours.
I try and do like email jingles and they always turn into the old PlayStation podcast Beyond News jingle is what I end up going
Jesus
into.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, time for some news. That's what I end up doing.
Hey, somebody send us some emails. If you want to send us some emails, where should you send them, Laura?
You should be sending them to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Where is that again?
Oh, where is it? superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. See, I listen to the show. I know how this works.
This is a real listener, unlike all those other guests.
Yeah, and it might sound something like this.
Oh.
Wow.
See, I'm...
Get the fuck out. You're done.
I am on this.
You know what that is? That's a retroactive shade throw on every guest we've ever had.
Yeah, previous guests, you're all shit. I'm calling it now. I'm the best.
The call out.
Bam.
Oh.
Man, take that guy, see he. I'm saying my brain, I'm scrambling. Like, who is the most awkward guest to pick for this? Just like Max and Simmons and Kenny Steve, those guys.
Family man living in Japan going, what? Huh?
Oh, the fucking console versions of that game, the game he's working on got canceled.
That sucks, man. That's a sucks.
Yeah. Matt and I played that game for Shitstorm. It's good. It's really good. If you have an iOS device.
Yeah.
No.
What was it called? Yeah.
Forgotten Memories.
Forgotten Memories. We got one coming in from Brandon, and he says, dear Critical Art best friends, would you eat at the Italian restaurant from Diamond is Unbreakable? Would you eat at Tonio's restaurant? The food is delicious, but you do not get to choose what the chef will serve you, and the effects of Pearl Jam are possibly worse than they are in the show if your health is shit. Are you familiar at all?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Because Pearl Jam's effects are horrific right before your heels.
So I'm going to say 100% yes. I don't care how bad it is if the end result is amazing.
I might be able to get my hair back.
I would deal, unless it's like prolonged. If it's like a week of suffering for you to feel
amazing. No. They last like
seconds.
30 seconds.
I can 30 seconds of torture. I can do that for an amazing feeling.
If it's less than a few minutes of torture, yeah, sure, I will take it. I think my limit is like 2 to 3 minutes of horrific torture, and then I can just be like, oh, that was unending terror, but I'm fine.
The worst one that you see is Okuyasu's like entire intestinal tract just firing out of his body through his stomach, and that's pretty horrific.
I don't think that 30 seconds of that horror versus like 2 to 3 minutes of that horror is really that much of a difference. No, I think if you've survived 30 seconds, you can survive another 2.5 minutes of ow, this is unbearable.
And the buff afterwards is so good.
Yeah.
You feel perfect.
So here's the thing, though, and I'm going to assume this is a hidden ability of Pearl Jam, is that it also heals the mental trauma of the thing you go through.
Maybe.
Because Okuyasu seems really laid back considering the shit that just happened to him.
Even that little dog, you know?
Yeah.
Like, way happy.
Bark, bark.
Yeah, if that's not part of the deal, then I'm not taking the deal full stop. If I have to remember that pain, I'm probably not dealing with it. But if I go through it for 3 minutes and then I'm just like, oh, that was...
I'm a foot taller.
Yeah, that was terrible, but I feel fantastic. Then it's totally worth it. I would
eat there.
Yeah.
Veins rip out of your body and then like empty themselves and then go back in, and you're like, they're like, dude, how do you feel? And you're like, yeah, I feel great, but you're still cuddled up in a ball. Yeah. And like you're stuck in that fetal position forever.
So long as it completely mentally heals you afterwards, it's like Pat with the I'll do anything to live forever. It's like, oh, if I don't have to deal with the mental trauma afterwards, I'll take whatever you've got.
Seems fair. I think most people
will. You know, there's new tech out there for living forever, and it's absorbing the blood of young people.
The blood of young people.
Did you ever look at that research? They found out that if you literally give old people transfusions of young blood, it rejuvenates them.
Yeah, the whole deal seems to be like, tell the teenagers, like the millennials, hey, sell us your blood so you can afford college books, then we'll pump it into the old people so they can live forever.
Like, it is a significant rejuvenating effect.
So that the old people can get up with their new blood and then type articles about how shitty millennials are?
That's correct.
Yeah, why don't they get a real job rather than selling their blood to
now
us.
Now listen.
Fucking useless millennial blood.
Now listen.
Only heals me a little bit instead of forever.
Now listen. I would never kill someone to drain their blood so I could live forever, because that's wrong.
Yeah. Talk to fucking Bloody Mary about
that. Now, if somebody would just happen to have a bunch of blood they'd give me for money, I mean, what am I going to not live forever? What do you know what I'm talking about?
You got a friend with a hookup?
Yeah. Multiple hookups on hooks. Up.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not saying I'm a bad person. I'm saying I'm willing to let other people be bad people for me.
Midnight Meat Train. We got it.
Stop! That's the second time you brought up that shitty movie. You're turning into Matt with that shit. That movie sucks.
You suck.
It's lizards at the end. It's lizards at the end of that fucking piece of shit. He's feeding lizards.
Coming in from Justin. He says, hey, good morning, super legit leak pals. Since you have underground journalism sensation Laura Kate Dale on the show today, let's talk about leaks. What are your favorites?
My favorite leaks are the ones that are obviously fake. The ones that are just like, you look at it and you go, that's not true.
And then it turned out to be true?
No.
Oh,
okay. The ones that you're like, are you, really? expect me to believe this?
I like the ones where it's like that, but the person has clearly like put the time into the Photoshop job they do along with it, where it's like, like that doesn't make sense and is unbelievable and cannot work. But that's a nice Photoshop. Like, I'll put
those are 3D.
I'll take that Photoshop and make it my desktop background. That's a nice Photoshop job.
3D printing leaks. I like that.
I'm a fan of we put it all on the website and someone just fucking went into the source code, looked for links to images, and oh, look, it's Virgil. He's in the game. Look at that. And 12 other characters. All we had to do was just type in the name.jpg and there.
All right. So I have another leak type that I really like. But it's not any specific one or even specific game. It's the leak type that is so prolific that at the E3 press conference, Sony, and it's always Sony,
have to acknowledge it.
Gets out there and go, so we do have some stuff you didn't see.
Yeah. That's always fun.
I prefer the one where it leaks and they don't acknowledge it, and it's the weird elephant in the room of, like, how are you saying this like it's an announcement when we all clearly know it? Like, my favorite there being the PS4 Slim, where like, oh
that one was so stupid.
That's the best. I had my moment of like, if I could have made flights out there for that reveal event, I wanted to throw the PS4 Slim that I had in my possession on the stage. Like, that's what I wanted to be doing.
You have to respect.
What is that? What is that? I don't know what that is.
You have to respect whenever they go like, all right, but what we're gonna do is grab another trailer that we weren't gonna show. Of footage that was not going to be seen for some game if the announcement or the trailer already popped up, you know, like
fucking
Beast Souls was a pretty bad one, or a lot of the Capcom ones as well. There was at least one or two of those where it's like, okay, we're looking at the goddamn thing, like it's here. But yeah, I'm in general, I'm going to go with the website leaks that are unintentional because the company themselves put it out. And all you had to do was just fucking right-click save as and trawl through it.
You know what I like? Voice actor leaks. Just because voice actors, especially Hollywood ones, don't give a fuck.
My favorite one that I was personally around for was I went to a press event for the Borderlands 2 DLC, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep. And we signed NDAs for that, and, you know, it's like, okay, we can't talk about it. And later that day, Anthony Birch
and Ashley Birch.
Yeah, Anthony Birch tweeted a selfie of himself from a sofa at that event and accidentally had a banner that had the name of the game in it, in his selfie. And it's that moment of, like, I'm sat here, I can't write about this, because I signed the fucking NDA. And everyone's like, oh, I wonder if this is a real thing, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep. I'm like, it's in the fucking photo.
Yeah. The greatest voice actor leak of all time, I'd say, my favorite is Kristen Bell getting interviewed for Assassin's Creed before it's ever a thing.
The day that was announced. It was the day at E3 it got announced.
And they were like, so yeah, like, what's your role in this? What's it about and stuff? And she's like, immediately, she's like, yeah, it's kind of like, an ancient journey to the past and like you're in the Crusades and it's like old world assassins, but it also meets the Matrix with this cool sort of futuristic plot to it, and they had not touched on that
They didn't announce that until like it felt like right before the game came out, the Animus
frame,
and she
device.
Blew it day one,
and I was like, wait, are we supposed to know that?
No.
Oh man, that was great.
I think she also spoiled her own character's death in the lead up to one of the games.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Possibly, but I mean, I think they kind of like wanted to get rid of her. So
they did.
Yeah. I forgot about another leak type that I love, which is the conference you know is going to be held in Japan by Japanese speakers and is being organized by Japanese people, and the fake leaked running order that's entirely in English.
Oh,
like, where it's like, oh, this was by the side of the stage entirely in English for this Japanese event.
Why would it be in English?
Why would it be in English?
Why?
We've got one coming in, which is pretty appropriate, actually, considering the discussions had on this episode.
Says, hey guys, I'm sad that this question missed the last Poor Little White Boy cast, but since you guys are the foremost authority on what is and what is not hip-hop, I figured you'd still be the best to answer this question. Is snitching hip-hop?
Snitching is super hip-hop.
Think about it.
Snitching is the most hip-hop thing you can do.
Now, hold on a minute, because...
If you every day that you snitch, you're becoming more hip-hop.
Hip-hop is, in general, the thing you can do to upset everybody is snitching.
Yeah.
Stop snitching is one of the mantras.
Stop snitching is also very hip-hop.
Right. At the same time, one might say that, like... Rebelling in general
is also hip hop.
Is very hip hop.
Yeah.
Fuck the police.
Counterculture.
Straight from the underground. Yeah. Doing what you want to do, not letting anyone tell you how to do it.
That's right.
So if hip hop itself tells you to stop snitching and you go, fuck you, hip hop, I'm a snitch.
That's hip hop.
Yeah. Fuck.
What's purer than that?
Fuck you.
At being hip hop.
Fuck you for telling me to fuck the police. I will not fuck the police. Fuck you.
Right?
Yeah.
But snitching doesn't have to be for the police. You can snitch to the world.
You can snitch about anything.
Yeah. You can snitch to anyone.
But snitching on hip-hop, while it's telling you not to snitch, can't be anything but hip-hop. Hip-hop, like, prime, even. I
hip-hop
know.
Prime is a massive snitch.
yes it is.
No, because you know why? Drug addict informants are fucking hip-hop.
They are pretty hip-hop. Yeah.
But then
you're writing it down right now.
Of course I am. but they get it the worst.
They do.
They always get
it
the
worst. And that's hip-hop.
You know. Yeah,
well, I don't know.
Bubbles is hip-hop.
More than anyone else?
Not more than, but he is.
Because, like... Yeah.
See, I
fucking Marlo's hip-hop.
I feel like... Avon's hip-hop.
I feel like prison snitches that snitch and then get to live the high life within prison, while they're living that high life, they are pretty hip-hop.
Top of the game.
Exactly. While they're at the top of the game, they're hip-hop. As soon as they have their fall from grace, maybe they're not so hip-hop then, but...
Yeah. Sun Tzu wrote in The Art of War, snitch. Snitch on those bitches.
Yeah, I think it's safe. It's really safe to say that just the relationship that snitching has to hip-hop de facto makes
See,
it
another hip-hop. Part of hip-hop is acquisition of your goals through low effort.
Mm-hmm. Acquire currency.
Yeah.
Disregard females.
acquire currency, smoke trees, disregard females.
Yeah.
But... If you can acquire your goals or achieve those goals via just snitching, which is just talking, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Snitching has power. And power, also hip-hop.
Powerful.
Powerful. I'm the most powerful snitch in the world. I know everything. I'll tell everyone.
And let's take...
We had power stance in Dark Souls 2.
Yep.
Can we get, like, power snitching in a Jason Turing game? Like, you're talking to a witness and you hit the power snitch.
All right, we got one last one coming in from Lane. And Lane says, what is the best mystery resolution you've seen or experienced? I just finished Channel Zero on Sci-Fi, a horror mystery anthology. It stuck its landing really well, and it wrapped up very strong.
Where it all comes together. I think 999.
Yeah. I think two examples. 999 is really strong. I think the Lane also gives two examples that are pretty good ones, which are Westworld's Maze and True Detective Season 1.
Yeah.
I think True Detective Season 1 is a really, really good wrap-up to the mystery. You're very satisfied with the ending.
Yes. It made sense. It made sense that the characters got there the way they did.
And it even like left you with a little bit of like... weird surrealism in a way.
There's just a little bit extra there. A
little bit extra. A little bit more than you bargained for that makes the characters better.
Mm-hmm.
I think True Detective Season 1 is probably my favorite.
I'm going to go with 999. That ending is strong.
I'm stuck in that position where I know I've had the moment where I've gotten to the reveal in a show and had to wind back 3 or 4 episodes and go, fuck it, let's look for the clues. Oh my god, they were there all the time. I can't think of the examples off the top of my head. like, this feels like a really terrible example. It's not the one I'm looking for, but the only one that comes to mind is the end of season one of Steven Universe, the very, like, it seems so obvious in retrospect, like, oh, that character, this is the deal with that main cast character. Oh, they signaled that the whole way through the show, and I never saw it coming. Right. I liked that, and that's the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah, like, I can think of them for like, I mean, there's cool reveals for things that are not, like, predominantly mysteries. Like, I think there's a couple of really interesting ones in Game of Thrones as you go through them that get dropped on you, starting, like, even with season one, about, like, what happened and what the truth is behind, you know, the main cast. And when King's Landing and Jon Arryn and all that stuff, I think there's some really cool stuff in that, but it's not predominantly a mystery show. So I guess I was kind of thinking of something where, you know, the main thing that pulls you through it is the fact that it is about the mystery.
Oh, I got one. It's Lost, obviously.
What?
That amazing.
Yeah.
Lost.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, I was wrong. I meant Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. Yeah, Lost had moments where, like, some of its reveals felt impressive at the time if you don't think about where the show ended. Isolated reveals were good.
So, Wooly, you said you heard Battlestar Galactica's good.
I heard lots of good things about
it. I will tell you that is correct. It is a fantastic show, and I think you will enjoy it. But I've never seen a landing non-stuck so utterly. It is strong, right up until, like, four episodes from the end.
Oh.
And then it just... And it's five seasons.
You reckon...
And then it just starts to shit all over itself.
Do you reckon it flubs its landing worse than Lost? Because Lost...
I didn't watch Lost.
Oh, so no. Lucky. Okay. If you want to see something that was, like, the best show that had the worst landing that just completely fucked itself over, that's Lost. Lost is amazing until you get the final reveal. It's like, oh... That was the least satisfying thing in the world.
Battlestar Galactica's ending is so bad that I started to yell "fuck you" at the television.
I retroactively dislike seven seasons of TV that I loved because of the ending of Lost. I retroactively can't enjoy Lost anymore.
I totally enjoyed people finding out about Lost and hating it. Because I hated the premise and everything about it on the way
through. Well, that was the show that started me on the don't watch it till it's over.
Yeah.
Because I saw that it was a mystery. And I had a very strong suspicion that the mystery was nothing.
Mm.
And that they were figuring it out as they went along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
the way people talked about it, the way people discussed the mysteries, I was like, there's going to be nothing here.
You know what does stick its landing amazingly that was a recent thing? It's a Netflix original called Dirk Gently, and it is...
Oh, yeah.
I was convinced...
That has come up. Yeah,
its core concept, I was convinced it wouldn't stick its landing, because the whole idea is this detective solves mysteries through pure coincidence. He just happens to be in the right place at the right time, and that's his deal. He just goes places, and the solutions happen. And that seems like the setup for the least satisfying conclusion ever, because... How do you get a good, satisfying conclusion out of he just happened to be in the right place at the right time? They fucking stick that landing and give the most incredibly satisfying conclusion to its first season. I'm like, you did good. You had a premise that was working against you, and you did good. You stuck the impossible landing.
Yeah, I've been hearing some good stuff about that too, actually. That and something else on Netflix that were just, like, being pimped as, like, awesome and worth checking.
Yeah,
Sorry. No, it wasn't Netflix, but Mr. Robot.
Oh.
Is coming up as something that's worth getting
into. Mr. Robot's the fucking thing I was trying to remember where I had to wind back and look for the clues. That's what I was trying to remember. Thank you.
And then Mr. Robot's all Let's Party Like Porn Stars.
And Hacker Man or whatever. I don't know. I don't get the references, but hopefully I will.
Apparently Josh from Until Dawn is in that.
Oh, yeah, he is the main character.
Yeah, all right.
Huh. Yeah, okay.
Got any more emails?
I do, but I think that's enough for now.
All right. The rest of your emails are terrible. That's what Wooly said.
Oh, burn.
No, they know.
They know. I bet a full 70% of people who write in the email go, this is a terrible email. This will not get read.
And then don't send it.
Yeah. But they send it.
But they send it.
Yeah, they send it.
No, no, I'm not saying that they're all terrible.
No, I am!
I'm just saying that I calculated and mathematically 97% of them are terrible.
The math bears it out. I mean, what are you going to do?
Shit.
You put it into the calculator and the calculator just spells back shit.
Now, tell us about where we can find you and what you're looking forward to and what's coming up and coming
out. Oh, time for the watch and whatnot. You can find me at Laura K. Buzz pretty much everywhere. Laura K. Buzz on Twitter, Laura K. Buzz on YouTube, laurakbuzz.com. And then all of the like video game stuff I do is usually on Let's Play Video Games. What have I got going at the moment? I just put up a review of Tales of Berseria, where they sent me a weird press kit that involved baking a quiche, so I got someone from the Great British Bake Off to bake a quiche for me, and we reviewed the quiche.
Was it a good quiche?
The recipe for the quiche was shit, because it missed out several key steps of baking a quiche, and this man whose job is to cook basically just laughed at this press kit recipe while I did a JRPG review. So go check that out. I
like a good quiche.
Yeah, you know, you can read about a JRPG and a quiche. There are pictures. It's great. other than that, I've just wrapped up doing a full playthrough of the story for Final Fantasy XV, and I have some probably going to be doing some Last Guardian soon. So if you want to see me shout at the Last Guardian and how I hate that fucking game, even though I love it, that'll be happening on YouTube soon. So have fun with that.
Okay.
That's probably my week. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm winging this week. We'll see.
Meanwhile, on our end, you know, of course, Dark Souls continues.
Dark Souls, Parasite Eve, RE7 will continue.
Yep. Should be wrapping up on Eve and RE7 soon.
RE7's quite a while, actually. We're way ahead on it.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Just going to take a look at some more one-offs. I'm going to be starting a new LP with Matt shortly, as soon as the next one
comes. As soon as we have a slot for it.
So that's going
to
be going down.
I am excited to see what the fuck that game actually is.
It's going
to
be a...
Because I kind of know what it is, yeah. But I don't know what you guys are going to do with it.
Well... No, I won't hint at it. let it be a surprise. Let it be a surprise. I was going to give it away practically.
Oh, no. Don't give it away this week. Give it away next week.
Yeah, it's fine.
Create the anticipation.
Yeah. So that's going down. There's... what else is there?
We're doing videos. We do a podcast.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, shit that's coming out.
For Honor.
For Honor.
It's For Honor Week.
Yeah, Neo and stuff. But, River City Underground is about to drop.
Oh, is that this week?
That's a thing. The guys that made Drift Stage have Sky Rogue, which is going to be popping out. The beta is soon, so that thing looks like the Sky version of Drift Stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Fucking great. Oh. Can't wait for that shit. And personally, I am working on a lot of background things, but one of the things I've been working on in the background...
Announcement!
I guess I'll just let everyone know that I'm basically planning to start up a side channel where I'm going to put like skits and edited things.
Do you have a name for this?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Do you want to say the name?
It's pretty obvious.
I don't know what the name is.
It'll
okay. That's good. That's a good name.
It's pretty obvious. And when it and then it's gonna be happening. And what I'm gonna be putting on it is stuff that I
stuff do good for the regular channel.
Stuff that, like, I find is more so, like, personal projects that I wanted to work on. Stuff that makes a bit more sense to not be, like, in the mix of what we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Even just dumb shit, like, fucking, like, Patchy Fan and trash like that. Like, there's a place for that.
No, yeah, it's away from me.
Yeah, exactly. So basically that's going to be like a side thing that I'm going to be working on. Like, of course it's, you know, something I'm going to be pushing.
Dark Souls is really burning you out, huh?
No, hey, you know, like it's more just more along the lines of like, I'm going to be like, I always have like free time in my life for like, a set number of projects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's I imagine it's the same kind of impetus that leads like Matt and I to stream. Like, you want your baby that is yours.
I want, yeah, and I have lots of ideas for things that happen constantly, and I don't always have the ability to execute those or put them anywhere or like do anything with it. So now I have a place that I'm going to be doing that. And and that's going to be happening simultaneously with the LPs doing on Super Best Friends. So like, I'm just going to be putting out shit on my own thing. And
is that coming out tomorrow or what?
No. But I'm soon, shortly. I want to make sure everything's nice and ready.
Well, now you set the fire underneath your own ass because people are going to hassle the fuck
out
of you.
That's kind of the point of this.
That's you know what? I don't know if you know this, but that's why I'm streaming Pillars, because I've gotten to a third way through that game 8 times now. And I just something comes out and I just don't do it. But now people are hassling me to do it. So now it's getting done. Now I'm playing it. It's a good idea. Have other people be constant alarm clocks for your bullshit.
And when you set the fire yourself by announcing it and making it real, now that it's out there, you have to do it.
If you had a name, if you announced the name for it, then you'd have like 4 days to do it before someone came and stabbed you.
Yeah. I was debating whether or not.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Save it. Save it. Save it. Leave the anticipation.
I'll save it. But it's coming. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on. But what I was kind of just getting at was that, like, there's, like, you know, slots of free time in your life. And, like, when one thing opens up,
such as editing.
I cram something else in there.
So all of a sudden,
instead of taking a break, I just fucking shove something else in it.
Hey, look at that. We got an editor, and now I'm streaming all the time, and you're making a side channel. How about that? It's almost like editing takes up a shitload of time.
It almost like it does.
Yeah.
It almost like it does.
Oh, boy. I love Billy so much.
Yeah.
I love him.
To the point where you're like telling me to sabotage him.
Don't
if he
say that, motherfucker. I didn't tell you to do nothing. I sure didn't tell you to sabotage job offers he might get. Don't do that. Why would you do that?
Good man.
So that's the podcast for this week.
I guess it is.
Big thanks to Laura for coming out.
Thank you for inviting me on. I hope that was all right.
It was terrible.
Well, that's fine. At least, you know, next guest you have can't be worse than me. So at least I achieved that this week.
Well, I know. We could get Plague on here.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, there was only one moment of head turning at your accent, I think.
Which was the very first
just
one.
Just that moment of, oh god, what voice is coming out of you?
No, what was the word?
Bastion.
Oh,
yes.
Bastion. Oh, I shall put on my proper British posh voice and I shall enunciate all of my words. Oh, yes. Ooh.
The Crown. Available on Netflix.
So do you like the Dreamcast, huh?
Oh, the Dreamcast is fantastic.
The Dreamcast?
Oh, the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
Oh!
And hold on, we're still live?
I hate podcasting.
Oh no!
Podcasting is the worst.
Oh, I hate the podcast.
One by one. We fucking just get your first ball out. Now there's
one by one implies that you get the first ball out, then the second ball, and then the third ball.
Outro time.
Bye.
Well, now the streaming program is frozen. So we're just
Alt F4 the PC. That'll just turn it off.
All right. Hey, how about you unfreeze for a second there?
You talking to me?
Talking to XSplit.
Oh, you talking to Sub-Zero?
Hey, you know, when how about this? How about when the goddamn streaming program feels like unfreezing is when we'll end the podcast.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so the podcast will continue until it suddenly cuts out.
That's fine. Just, you know, sit here and be like, oh, well, I thought the podcast was over. I'm just going to chill back with my beer and start taking all my clothes off, get ready for bed. Why not? Sure.
Oh, yeah,
it's 9 p.m. out
late
there, huh?
Yeah. Super late over.
Yeah, exactly. It's 9 p.m., right, which is British bedtime. We must all go and have our cup of tea and go to bed.
I thought you all had beers all the time.
Or don't blow out the generators because everyone's cooking up their tea heaters.
Oh, that's after Coronation Street, man.
No, the problem is the toilet's not flushing because all the water's run out because they all made the cup of tea and then went to the bathroom. So
you still can't turn this fucking thing off, can you?
It won't go. It won't stop. I can't stop it.
This is my stand. My stand stops you from turning off podcasts so that I will forever be on the Super Best Friend Cast.
You hit stop on the stream and it's just like, nah.
It just won't outro. Oh my god, we're just gonna have to abruptly end it.
No,
then.
I will be your guest forever. You can't get rid of me now.
But the people will riot if I can't get Uno out.
You know what you need to do, right? You need to close the program, stop the stream, load the stream back up, and just play the outro.
This is terrible.
This is the worst.
This is beautiful.
You need to
fuck it.
You need to keep this
task.
Shit show in the audio version because this is hilarious.
Task.
Your task ending it?
Okay.
Did that work?